I'm about to finish that study.
Yeah, I'm finally got it too.
Your source for everything paranormal. Para X. On August 8th, 1969, the decade of love ended in blood.
In a scene described by one investigator as reminiscent of a weird religious rite, five persons, including actress Sharon Tate, were found dead at the home of Miss Tate and her husband, screen director Roman Polanski.
Tonight, Para X takes you to the area that changed a generation. Join us tonight live for a five-hour investigation as Hidden Realms' Gavin Cromwell, Stirring the Cauldron's Marla Brooks, and Positively Psychic's Mark Christopher Nelson combine forces in this unprecedented event. It's the Manson Area Murder Investigation, live on Para X. Sponsored in part by StarCrafts, the online resource for your pagan and metaphysical needs. And by South Coast Paranormal Tours, dare to explore the unknown. And by Dearly Departed Tours, now featuring the Helter Skelter Tour. It all starts right now. Here are your hosts, Gavin Cromwell, Marla Brooks, and Mark Christopher Nelson.
Hey, we made it.
We made it in one piece anyway.
Yes, we are. We're here. Mark Nelson is here. We're all kind of scrunching into the mic.
Well, this is my first time working as a threesome, Mar. I don't know about you.
I know. We're having a paranormal menage a trois.
We certainly are.
It's hot and sweaty still, too. I know. But not as much fun as I had thought.
See, Mark, you never know what to expect.
No.
Well, we're just getting started. You know, this is... Never mind. So hi guys and welcome. We're so glad that you're with us here tonight. Gavin is already feeling things to talk about it.
It does feel very nauseous in this house. And I mean, I'm not one to be overly dramatic on an investigation. You know, I like to have the solid proof as a psychic.
Yes.
But very, very nauseous here. And I'm boiling. It's hot and sunny outside, but my hands are just so clammy and cold. And I just feel really, really nauseous. Not like me to feel sick on investigation. Uh-huh. So this is new experiences for me straight away. And I've just come through the door, so I haven't even got started yet.
I agree. When By the way, Gavin's hand, you'd think he was out handling cold side of beef or something.
No.
Oh, he's touching me. cold.
But when I did walk in, I felt a bit nauseous myself. That's something I got right off the bat. So, it just takes a little getting used to. I guess there is some residual stuff that's here that you have to get used to and learn to ignore it or deal with it or something.
Yeah, to adapt to the atmosphere of the location.
Some residual stuff and some probably real stuff, huh?
Yeah, definitely. Intelligent haunting, as well as residual, as well as something that's separate to the subject we're concentrating on tonight as well. So
yes,
definitely feel that.
So what do you guys, do you have any indication of something impending? Do you feel like something is going to happen?
I feel anxious because I don't usually feel sick before an investigation.
I agree. I mean, I walk in and I'm usually okay. It doesn't bother me. And then today I'm feeling like first thing is like pit of my stomach a little bit. And I'm not nervous per se, but it's just like that's more like this is a physical something.
It does feel very physical. And the fact I just feel really... nauseous. I do feel really ill, actually, and that's just not like me. I don't do the being ill thing.
No. I don't need that kind of trauma in my life.
So. Yeah. No, I don't either. Wow. Definitely don't. So.
I think it'll be interesting. I'm curious to see what we pick up. I want everyone to kind of wander around, and I'm sure we're going to start to get things.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all about investigations, whoever's taking part in the investigation, to say how they feel. That it might be a name, it might be a situation, it may be something that... they're picking up on it. They feel strongly about it. I'm all about them being open about that, you know, to see how they're feeling. How do you feel here, Marla?
So far, I feel fine.
Yeah.
Strangely enough, until you're touching me.
I'm interested.
Really
sorry about that. I know. My hands are like ice.
So.
But it's interesting. I'll be interested to see the electromagnetic field because I'm feeling nauseous straight away to see if that's got anything to do with this because it's very unusual. Like I said, I've got chewing gum. Sorry. about feeling so sick before an investigation. It's never happened to me before.
Well, I turned the EMF meter, my Mel meter, on when we came in, and when I pointed it at you, Gavin, it went up to 0.4.
Right, okay.
Then it just kind of dropped down, so it's not doing much, but, you know, until we get out there and walking around and deciding what we're doing, and we should tell everybody that we've got Scott Michaels here as well.
We have. He's perched up there on the sofa, looking very beautiful in tangerine glow. His t-shirt.
He kind of matches the house owner, David Ullman. He's in orange. We're going to give a fashion commentary to him right now.
Scott is looking lovely in a tangerine t-shirt this evening on the investigation here at the Manson investigation.
And we have Bridget Marquardt here also from the Girls Next Door.
Yes.
And so. And
Martin and Babs.
And Martin. Oh, yes. Bridget's in yellow. She looks beautiful. Matches her blonde hair.
Yeah. And we've got Teresa's here from StarCrafts. Teresa and Tracy have come along from San Diego with me today.
Right.
Of course, StarCrafts being one of our sponsors on the show today. So she's come down. I've been doing my readers and stuff from the store. Great store if you need your crystals and any of your kind of New Age stuff there, pagan stuff. It's all at this store. It's tremendous.
And we're also getting a call in from your friends at the tour company.
Oh,
South Coast Paranormal.
South Coast Paranormal are going to be calling in, yes. And, just to see what their point of view is. You know, we're going to have a goss with them, and that's going to be interesting to get their points of view and tell them what we're feeling, see what they think. So, they're definitely up for it, guys. So
I have a friend calling in, Marta Monahan. She's an author, written a number of books. She's psychic herself, and she has she's going to explain her thoughts on why people stay. What are the reasons why a ghost or a spirit, a consciousness would stay in a place?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll be curious to get her opinions on it. She's a very interesting spiritual lady, and hopefully she can share some insights.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to be, I'm sat here now, and it's hard to be sat here and not have those really horrendous images flashing before your eyes.
Yes.
That, you know, I mean, I wasn't around when this happened, and I'm not up on the whole story. I just know it was a very vicious murder, an actress and a director, and it was just sort of a satanic looking thing, you know, racist and all this. I'm not up on the whole story.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's better, because then you don't.
Yeah, I mean, it keeps it fresh for me. I do know that the original location where this happened, the building, is just down from here, yeah?
Yes,
did you guys, when we got out of the car, did you look down the drive and see the big gate?
Yeah.
It's very eerie to know that just over that fence, all those people died. Very bloody, very horrible.
And on the trip up, you think about what was in those murderers' minds as they were making their way up here to this location.
And
it's
such a dichotomy, too. It's a beautiful area. It's a sunny day.
Gorgeous.
It's probably very much the same way when this happened approximately 40 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, the pinnacle of existence in many ways. You know, just this is where people have had it all, and the last thing they expected was to lose it all in one night to a group of crazy, vicious killers.
So how many people were actually killed?
I think it was 5.
I thought it was 9.
I could be wrong.
Scott, how many people were actually murdered that night?
It's year 5.
Okay, five. Yeah, sorry.
One thing, Gavin, do you ever pick up like a physical sense of what might have happened to someone? I mean, do you get?
Yeah, I mean, I usually get that with an intelligent haunting, usually.
Uh-huh.
Not so much with a residual, maybe just my way of working psychically. When I ask the question, how did you pass? You know, how did you, you know, pass into spirit? That's when they usually give me the conditions of what they passed with. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you know, whether it be a throat slit or a stab or a shot wound.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not the full-on thing. I mean, it can be, but, you know, I like to carry strong spiritual protection with me, so I don't have to feel that, because it would disturb me quite a lot.
Yes.
I do feel what they passed with, which is what has made me a little bit anxious, I suppose, for tonight, because I know they got slashed up pretty badly, whoever they were. So.
They did. I mean, it wasn't just stab you in the heart and die. It was quite brutal. And in doing some research about the house, I read where Sharon Tate, who was 8 months pregnant, I believe, at the time that she was murdered, pleaded for her life. And said, please let me live so that my baby will be born. And
just saying these words on your voice vibration alone, Marla, I mean, it's making me think, you know, with Sharon especially then, a very sensitive point would be to bring up the child, you know, for her as a spirit to hear those things about her child. Mm-hmm. That's obviously what brings her a lot of pain, a lot of anxiety as a spirit. So I think that's going to be a very sensitive subject if we do come into the contact, into contact with Sharon Tate this evening.
So are either of you feeling any type of intelligent haunting right now? And
I'm
want
not
to
feeling
say
it
that
right now. I don't get it right now. I'm just getting the initial feelings of stepping in here. I haven't had a nose round. I've literally walked through the door and sat on that sofa for 2 seconds and then come straight on the microphone. Mm-hmm. And I just feel so sick. So I want to explore more. I'm feeling upstairs for some reason. And in that room just beyond those beady curtains where Scott is going into now, the Mark's dowsers, dowsing rods, kind of was drawing me into that section of the house. So I'm interested to go in there. I'm interested in to see some the upstairs for some reason. So,
and I think it's a point to tell everybody that we, with Gavin and Mark here being psychic and doing that type of the investigation, we also have people here that are going to be using things like the Melmeter, like
we have the ovulus,
the dowsing rod. We have an ovulus and the paranormal puck, which we'll be using later.
Yeah, Kimmy's come down from San Francisco to join the investigation. She's brought an ovulus, a paranormal puck. And then we've got, you know, the good old pendulum, the dowsing rods. So we have a whole array, the Melmeter, like you just said, which we've already whipped out already. We've got a whole array of toys.
Yeah,
to
so it's
going to
be
evening.
A very complete investigation from all different angles, the scientific and the metaphysical.
Very much. And I mean, I feel we've got an even balance in the investigation team tonight. We've got some, you know, open-minded skeptics, very sensitive people, strong believers. So it's kind of a nice balance of everybody, I feel.
I think a little healthy skepticism also just makes everything we do a lot more valid.
Of course.
And so I think it's worthwhile for people who are getting or not getting anything. I'm curious about what they have to say. But I'm going to try not to let everyone else's opinions, you know, skew mine.
And, oh, absolutely. You know, because it can be easy to do
it
that.
It is, to kind of whip everybody into a frenzy about what they are or are not experiencing.
Exactly, exactly. To separate yourself from opinions. And Marla, I've worn my guy liner especially for you tonight. You've never seen me wear it, and I'm wearing
know,
it for you.
I know. It's my fault, because when Gavin walked into my house earlier today and I said, you know, that's the second time you've come in here with your eyes not made up. So we went out to lunch. And,
we did.
And when we came back, Gavin put on his guideliner.
I got my slap on.
And I'm thrilled. I'm so appreciative.
Well, we're going to have a photograph done. I've got it on specially for you.
Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you.
I just hope it doesn't melt off in the seats outside.
Well, we're going to be in here where it's cool and as clammy as you are.
I'm clammy. That's the word to describe how I'm feeling right now. It's nauseous and clammy. It really is.
I'm touching Gavin.
Yeah,
his
I'm
hands,
getting colder. It's the
his
kind
arms
of,
are freezing, yet his forehead is burning up.
I feel sick. I feel like I'm, you know, I feel like I've got a stomach bug. I feel like I've got the flu coming. That's how I feel in this building, which is why I'm saying I'm interested to see the electromagnetic field in this house. Just, you know, because that can make you feel very sick, very nauseous. And if that's not there, then obviously this is coming from spirit. So I feel it's a spiritual thing right now. I've got to be honest. So, you know, I think it's kind of
also, don't you think
troubled house.
They know that we're here.
Oh, yeah. I think they, you know, it's obviously, I mean, what I'm getting from the atmosphere, there's obviously been a lot of people in an interview talking about this situation, you know. So it feels like, you know, they're aware that people are interested about this house and what's going on in this atmosphere. So they're going to recognize when groups come in and they see this equipment coming into the house. They know what's up and what's about. And if they've got a message, then they'll come forward with it, you know. So I always come on these investigations expecting nothing. I never have a high expectation of any investigation I do. Whatever happens, happens. But I feel weird about this one.
Well, I tend to think I agree with you. I mean, the idea that... I'm going to pull up here a little bit. I do think that it's again, having an open mind, you don't want to, you know, go in expecting anything. I do think that they are paying attention to us. How could they not? They've been through this before. They've seen it before. Also, too, they are probably very curious about our intentions. Are we here to exploit? Are we here to serve? They're going to react based on what, you know, we do and say. So I'd like to think that we're here, that if there's something that we can, you know, communicate for them, tell if there's family that's alive, if there's something that we can do that would be beneficial, and that they may be more open to speaking with us.
Yeah.
You know, and I'd like to think that we can do something for them if they're open to it.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Definitely. It's a good point.
Yeah.
And I think it's a point also to mention that as we go, we'll be talking to Scott Michaels. We'll be talking to Bridget. We'll be talking to the homeowner with his experiences about living in this house. Bridget, if you guys don't know, is the star of The Girls Next Door and Bridget's Sexiest Beaches.
And sort of Hugh's girlfriends, or not anymore.
She was.
Yeah.
And she does have an interest in the paranormal.
I was just chatting to her just then, and she seemed very, you know, she said she just came back from the Stanley Hotel, which was the hotel, obviously,
yes.
where the Shining was inspired, you know?
Yes.
So, yeah.
So she's going to be walking around with us as well. And like I said, we're all very anxious to get started. Just so you guys know, one of us hosts will be on the mic at all times. We'll be taking turns, probably... You know, every half hour we'll switch and go out and
absolutely come back
out
with our experiences.
Yeah, and don't be surprised if we break in and interrupt if somebody else is doing something. I think that's kind of important.
Yeah,
if something comes up, and then we'll have to figure how we're going to do the ovulus and paranormal puck.
Absolutely. And, you know, all the listeners listening tonight as well. I mean, if you're really focused on this show tonight and you're kind of visualizing where we are, because I know we have a lot of sensitives listening this evening, get in the chat room, you know, drop us a message. See if you're picking anything up. You know, there's a lot of energy going on tonight. Me, Marla, Mark is here. You know, there's lots of stuff going on. So if you pick up anything yourself from where you're sat, because this can happen.
Sure,
this can happen,
absolutely.
You know. If you get any information, you know, if you get a vision or get some information, come in the chat room and tell us, you know. Don't be shy.
Yep.
Definitely.
Yep. Barbara, thanks for coming too.
Yes.
Thank you.
She's manning the chat room for us.
Glad to be here.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. We've got Martin over there.
Yep.
Hello.
He's there. There we go.
I think we were interrupting him. He seemed very...
He's very intent on what he's doing.
Yeah,
are
he
you
is.
Looking at the chat room, Martin? All right.
Oh, see, he's wrapping us up.
He's
been
a great producer. All right, guys. We are going to go to break, and when we come back, one of us will be here with somebody. We're going to keep this a big secret.
Yeah.
And the other two are going to go investigate. So we'll be right back on what? It's Helter Skelter Thursday.
Helter Skelter Thursday. Stay tuned, guys. Going to be exciting.
All right, guys.
We're listening to the Manson Murder Investigation live on Para X, sponsored in part by Starcrafters in La Mesa, California. Check out their website at www.starcraftersob.com, the online resource for your pagan and metaphysical needs. And by South Coast Paranormal Tours. Check them out at www.scparanormaltours.com. Dare to explore the unknown. We'll be back with more from the live investigation in just a moment. You've enjoyed Para X on your computer at work and at home. But today, there's a new way to listen to your favorite shows. Para X has gone mobile. That's right. Para X is now available on the Nokia Internet Radio Network. Now, you can take Para X with you wherever you go. Never miss your favorite shows again. Para X on your cell phone. Tune in today. Nokia Internet Radio is available on all Nokia portable devices with access to the Internet. Your source for everything paranormal. Para X. Now on Nokia.
You take your six-year-old to the playground. You watch her go down the slide, then run over to the swings. Another mother strikes up a conversation. You take your eye off your daughter for just a few seconds. You look back at the swings. And she's gone. Your heart drops into your stomach. You jump up, your eyes searching. You cry out her name. Lily! Lily! From the top of the slide, you hear a voice.
Mommy, watch me!
Every parent knows that feeling. Imagine if she were actually abducted. Go to wirelessamberalerts.org. Sign up for free Amber Alerts on your cell phone. When an Amber Alert is issued in the areas you've chosen, you'll receive a free text message. If you spot the vehicle, the suspect, or the child described in the alert, call 911. Sign up today at wirelessamberalerts.org. A child is calling for help. This message brought to you by the Wireless Foundation, the U.S. Department of Justice, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, and the Ad Council.
I've had trouble with Angel trying to finish high school. He's always struggled through even elementary. It would be frustrating because sometimes I would talk to him and he wouldn't even turn around and look at me. I would ask him, so you're going to school today, right? He would say, yeah. And then later during the day, I would get a phone call saying he wasn't in class. He dropped out for a whole month. There's a time that I just gave up. I just decided, you know what, I don't know what to do with you. I mean, I pretty much have done everything to try to get you back to school. You know, you feel that maybe you're not a good parent, or maybe you don't know how to fix the problem. I really didn't have many people to look to but myself. Now I think that it's gotten a lot better. Now I at least have hope that he'll finish high school. I can't give up. He's still my son, you know? I can't give up.
Give your teen the boost they need to graduate. Call 1-877-4A-KID or join us at boostup.org for tips and advice. Brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Do you sometimes feel like you're standing beside yourself and looking at others with a totally different perspective? Do you wonder why that happens to you? Miss Lucy knows. Tune in Mondays at 3 p.m. Eastern to ILN Radio and begin to explore the possibility exclusively on the Para-X Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Manson Murder Investigation, live from Beverly Hills, sponsored in part by Dearly Departed Tours. Check them out at www.dearlydepartedtours.com. Now featuring the Helter Skelter Tour. Now, let's get back to the investigation with Gavin Cromwell, Marla Brooks, and Mark Christopher Nelson.
Hey, everybody. We are back here on Yellow Drive, and Gavin and Mark have gone off to do a little bit of investigating. Right before they left, Mark's dowsing rod snapped in half for no apparent reason, which is a little bit strange in of itself. He said it's never happened before, so he is sitting there, and I don't know where Gavin is, but right here I've got Scott Michaels with me. Hi.
Hello. Thank you for having me, Marla.
Well, who better on a Manson investigation than Mr. Manson expert himself?
Well, that's very kind of you to say. It's a sad thing to brag about, but
it is, and it's kind of a sad place to be in a sense.
Yeah, no doubt. If you really take a couple of steps back and think about it, and the mystique that's happened over the past 40 years is 40 years this coming week. It's sort of easily to depersonalize it, but when you're up here and you start thinking about what happened just up the road, and it brings it home. It's really it's quite moving.
It is. Now, you've been in this house several times, and we all know that you're not a cynic. You are skeptical to a degree, but you have felt things in this house, even you.
Yeah.
What's your whole impression of it?
Well, when I was, just now, we were in the other room over there, and there was a point where I started getting all stuffy and a bit headachy, not in a serious headachy way, but I won't even go downstairs. I don't like it down there. I don't know what it is, but I just don't like going down those stairs. And David keeps saying, come on down, come on down. It's like, no, that's all right, I'm fine up here. But there are, according to David, there's loads of things that happen up here, and I've got orbs and things like that, but I've never actually done the EVP thing up here. I've never actually properly investigated this house, but it's certainly it provokes feelings, definitely.
What are you okay? Because Gavin and Mark are here doing an investigation in a slightly different way. Would you be surprised if they got some evidence, particularly something that they might not have known ahead of time that you know?
Well, it's possible. I mean, it's interesting to listen to what people are coming up with, and I'm trying hard not to interject. They're saying there's something about this one particular person. There was a photograph floating around a couple of victims, and somebody said that there was something about this particular woman. So I'm having to bite my tongue to say, oh, well, that was so-and-so, and this is what happened to her, da-da-da-da-da. Mm-hmm. I try just to be quiet because it's interesting to actually pick up on what people are picking up. It's interesting to be up here during the daylight. I know it's 3 hours later on the East Coast, mm-hmm. but it's a lot less spooky during the daytime. Because when you're up here, I've been up here on the anniversary. I've been here at the time of the murders, on the anniversary of the murders. And when they say in the book Helter Skelter, famously, there's a quote, it's so quiet you could hear the ice and the cocktail shakers. And it's so true, because I was just saying the silence is deafening up here. It is the loudest silence you'll ever hear. It's just overwhelming. So Yeah, it's just it's interesting. I'd say being there, being here during the day is fascinating. With people that are psychic. I mean, this is great.
Yeah, see, I know that other investigators have been up to the house. Jason and Grant from Ghost Hunters have been up here with Chris Fleming. They got a lot of activity when they were here. But I've not heard of psychic, much less two psychics, coming in. And it's just going to be interesting to get their impressions, because from what I can see, they are not with each other at all. Well, I lie. Now they're in the same room.
Mm-hmm.
But they were, you know, they're all going to be going around independently of each other and picking up different impressions and to see if those coincide with perhaps the readings that we get on the mail meter or...
The what? You know,
the mail meter, Scott. Scott is calling that the stud finder thermometer. but that's Scott. So, you know, it'd just be interesting to see if they're picking up something, if the meter reacts to.
I mean, it was interesting watching the Ghost Hunters and them asking questions and getting actual answers with the thing. And actually,
Barbara?
No, Tracy. Tracy and I were walking around with the called the dowsing rods, and she was showing me how to use that. And it's fascinating to actually go yes, no, ask questions, and the things are going a little bit crazy. So, and actually responding to actual questions, you know, it's interesting stuff.
Why do you think, and it's yet to be determined, I mean, David Ullman, the homeowner, swears that Sharon and Jay Sebring are here. Why, in your opinion, do you think that they are here, if they are? Maybe not down the street where...
Well, maybe because the house down the street doesn't exist anymore. You know, they were... Sharon and Jay were actually murdered in the home, and the others were outside of the home. Mm-hmm. So possibly because the old house has been ripped down and now there's a, it was a modest 3-bedroom ranch style home on the hill. Now is a 17,000 square foot Mediterranean villa. Possibly they just don't like the way that place feels. There's only one original wall left in there in that house. Thus in California, you get a tax break because it's considered a remodel, not a so possibly they just don't, you know, they don't feel, I don't know. If I were one of them, I wouldn't want to hang around where I was murdered, you know. But maybe they're stuck over here, and they just want to go to the nice place down the street. I don't. That's all I can think of.
It is, and I mean, you know, you look around here. I mean, looking out the window here. I mean, wall to wall windows. We're overlooking a canyon, a beautiful canyon. I mean, you can't imagine that something that horrible could happen in a neighborhood this beautiful, and it was senseless. I mean, don't you agree?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the reasons why people are still fascinated by this case, because these people were just going about their business. I mean, a lot of people say that there was a party at the home that night. There was no party. Steve McQueen said that he was invited, and just loads of people. I can't think of all of them at the time. We're all invited to this party. Now, Abigail Folger was reading a book in bed. Wojciech Frykowski was passed out on the sofa. There wasn't a party. It was just four people sitting in a house, or some of them laying in the house, and one kid that was leaving the house. And I think that one of the reasons it's so fascinating, because these people were just going about their lives, and all of a sudden, bam, this horrific thing happens, which changed California. It changed the world, probably, because... it pretty much put the security industry on the map. Before that, people didn't have guard dogs or guns. There was another story that people, sporting goods stores, were selling, you know, 2, 3, 4 guns a day. And after that, they were selling out, you know, 200, 300 a day, because people were just so paranoid. Mm-hmm. And because it wasn't solved for so long, the murders happened in August, and it wasn't solved until December. So during that time, you know, the killers were still wandering around, and, you know, people were scared senseless, and rightfully so, because it was so random.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's one of the biggest reasons. And also another reason is because nobody could figure out what made these kids do that. You know, to follow Manson and to do what Manson wanted him to do. You know, Leslie Van Houten being in the homecoming court, Tex Watson being on the high school football team. And these people, you know, were savage murderers. Well, actually, Leslie, not so much. And she wasn't even here that night. But, I mean, Susan Atkins was. And she came from a broken home. The point is, these were just kids. Mm-hmm. And Manson, through his influence, had these people just go out and do his bidding. He broke down their egos. And they saw him as some sort of Christ-like figure. And did whatever he wanted to do.
Okay, so why did Charles Manson pick on this particular group of people to slaughter?
He was interested in the people that lived in the house prior to Sharon and Roman moving in. The last tenant was Terry Melcher, the record producer, and Doris Day's son, and his girlfriend Candace Bergen. Now, through Dennis Wilson of the Beach Boys, he introduced Charles Manson. Dennis hooked up with Manson by picking up a couple of the girls hitchhiking, and Manson moved into Dennis's house. Manson was an entertainer. He was a singer. He was a songwriter. He wanted to make it big. He glommed on to Dennis Wilson. Dennis Wilson, you know, was high every day of his life anyway, and he thought that Manson wasn't so bad. So he introduced him to Terry Melcher. Manson drove up this road that we're sitting in front of right now and to meet with Terry Melcher and audition for Melcher a couple of times. Melcher didn't think Manson was particularly good, wasn't particularly bad, but didn't make any sort of impression. But so Manson accidentally or naively, Melcher gave Manson $50 and to go get some food because he was hanging out with these skinny girls. Manson, in his brain, thinks that this $50 is a down payment on a recording contract. So he goes back to the ranch and is all excited because he's going to get a recording contract. Meanwhile, in December of 68, Terry Melcher and Candace Bergen move out. In February of 69, Roman and Sharon move in. Now, in March of 1969, stop me if I'm going on too long.
No, I'm
okay.
Fascinated.
March 23rd, 1969, Manson returned to the house. He wanted to find out from Terry Melcher what was going on with his recording contract. He went to the front door. Sharon's personal photographer opened the door, and he said, "I'm looking for Terry Melcher." Her photographer said, "Melcher doesn't live here anymore. This is now the Polanski house. Leave immediately." But behind her photographer was Sharon Tate. Could be no doubt, less than 6 feet away from each other, Sharon and Manson looked into each other's eyes 5 months before the murders occurred. So on the night of the murders, in 8th of August, he sent Tex and the girls out and said, "Go up to Terry Melcher's old house in Benedict Canyon and kill everyone in it and make it look witchy." Thus the writing in the wall and sort of the weird symbols that were left there. So Manson knew full well that Melcher didn't live here, but he was going to send a message to Melcher as well. That was his sort of double-edged sword because he was going to scare the hell out of the guy that was going to give him a recording contract and reneged on it. So, it's a complicated story. I think that the girls totally fed into the helter-skelter thing about the murdering, the war between the blacks and the whites that Manson was going to kickstart by killing the rich white people, or piggies, which is what they were called then. It wasn't the police. Piggies were rich white people, and start this race war. And I have no doubt that the girls probably believed it too, and he convinced him of it. But Manson had his own motivations, I think. And there are lots of theories as to what those motivations were, but I don't think it was a race war. I really don't.
No, I don't believe so either. And, you know, it's scary that, he was taking his thing out on, that his mat on for Melcher on totally innocent people.
Yeah, just people going about their lives. It's incredible. But he didn't know who they were, just some Hollywood types or movie stars or something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, Abigail Folger and Wojciech Frykowski just happened to be there. When Sharon returned from Europe, Roman was going to be coming back the next week. And they were going to move back out, but she asked if they'd stay for an extra week or two. And that put them in the house. The kid, Stephen Parent, just happened to be visiting William Gerritsen, the caretaker. He was on his way out. Mm-hmm. Had he left 2 minutes earlier, he probably would have made it out the gates. But instead, he came face-to-face with Tex Watson in front of the gates, and he was killed immediately. So a lot of it is just the wrong place at the wrong time. And yeah.
Kind of makes you wonder, though, if that was their karma. You know, I mean, sad but true. It's a legitimate question. Are people meant to die at certain times, or is there such a thing as an accidental death?
Well, I mean, I don't know. Karmically, it always seemed to me like, you know, behavior influenced karma. And there is not a soul. And I know that after people were murdered, it tends to, you know, of course, sympathy sort of, you know, goes their way. But I've never, ever, ever heard anyone say anything negative about Sharon Tate. She was always the nicest person in the world. I mean, and I've met several people that knew her and had nothing negative to say about her. She was just, you know, the nicest person in the world. And she was looking forward to nothing more than having her baby. That was her big thing. I mean, she was 8.5 months pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And all she wanted was that baby. And that's what she begged for when she was being murdered. Let me have my baby.
So, okay, here's the question. Some people say the baby was cut out of her. Others say that she was just stabbed. Do you know?
Yeah, Sharon was stabbed 16 times. She was left intact. They brought the baby out of her at the autopsy. But Susan Atkins started that rumor. She said they wanted to cut the baby out and present it to Charlie as a gift. Had that happened, the baby probably would have lived. It was 8.5 months. You know, it's a good chance the baby would have survived, but they didn't, and the baby died in Sharon's womb. And as I understand it, Sharon is buried with the baby in her arms.
Oh, that is so sad. I just was asking if Dave is in the chat room, and I think we do have a surprise for him, probably when we come back from break. And we'll be... Scott will be back with us also after the break. But I think we're going to get up and stretch our legs, and we'll be back with you in just a couple of minutes.
Terrific.
The Manson Murder Investigation live from Beverly Hills is sponsored in part by StarCrafters in La Mesa, California. Check out their website at www.starcraftersob.com, the online resource for your pagan and metaphysical needs. And by South Coast Paranormal Tours. Check them out at www.scparanormaltours.com. Dare to explore the unknown. Stay tuned. There'll be more from the live investigation in just a moment. Kentucky Area Paranormal Society.
Caps.
Explore the unknown.
Caps.
Discover the truth. With your hosts, Dave and Tom, Sundays at 8 p.m. on your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Positively Psychics. Join your host, Mark Christopher Nelson, for fascinating interviews with leading experts in the paranormal field. Positively Psychics. Call in for a free reading and contact your guides, guardian angels, friends, and loved ones on the other side. Positively Psychics. Thursday evenings, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. Positively Psychics. Only on the Para-X Radio Network.
Come on. Come on.
Laptops, MP3 players, cameras, video games, cell phones. In times like these, schools can become a shopping mall for thieves.
Got it.
Don't become a victim of crime. Leave your valuable stuff at home, and if you do have to bring them to school, keep them with you. Write down their serial numbers, and don't flash expensive items around. Be smart. If you have something cool, there's a good chance someone else will want it too. Keep cash and ATM cards in a secure place, and never give anyone your PIN number. And don't leave your school bag lying around where it can become a temptation to someone else. If you have something stolen, report the situation immediately. The sooner you tell someone, the better the chance you'll get it back. Visit ncpc.org to learn more about how to prevent school theft. That's ncpc.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Those words are just as true as they were back in 1961.
Carter Fleming, Community Center volunteer.
I am still trying to live up to that challenge. And with great privilege comes great responsibility.
Growing up in poverty taught me how to be determined, how to be goal-oriented.
Ray Wright, youth mentor.
I work with young people every day, and young people have almost lost faith in the world surrounding them. I'm that ray of sunshine telling them we haven't been forsaken.
The giving spirit is as passionate in the boomers today as it was in our 20s, and we as a generation can still impact our country.
Lead, inspire, change the world again. Join thousands and find which volunteer opportunity is best for you. Call 1-800-424-8867 today or visit www.getinvolved.gov. This message is brought to you by the Corporation for National and Community Service in this station.
Have you ever lost a cat? And have you ever wanted to get your cat back after you lost it? I'm Andrew Hoffman. I invented the Lost Cat Magnet. Just turn it on, and lost cats stick to it. Just listen to one satisfied cat. That's proof. You should invent stuff, too. But remember, don't do a Lost Cat Magnet.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions, or just play some games at inventnow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X. It's the Manson Area Murder Investigation, live on Para-X. Tonight, Hidden Realms' Gavin Cromwell, Stirring the Cauldron's Marla Brooks, and Positively Psychic's Mark Christopher Nelson combine shows for a live investigation in Beverly Hills. Sponsored in part by StarCrafts, the online resource for your pagan and metaphysical needs. And by South Coast Paranormal Tours, dare to explore the unknown. And by Dearly Departed Tours, now featuring the Helter Skelter Tour. Now, once again, let's go live to your hosts, Gavin Cromwell, Marla Brooks, and Mark Christopher Nelson.
Well, actually, we're all here right now. We're going to be talking a little bit more with Scott Michaels, but Gavin and Mark were off doing a little bit of investigating. Mark came up with something that he and Scott are going to kind of talk about now, which is kind of interesting. So, Mark, what happened?
Well, I was standing with Gavin, and there's this one area over there pretty active. And I just heard this name, Paul. It's like someone came up and whispered, Paul, Paul. I felt that Paul was connected to this. I got goosebumps pretty big, and I don't know who Paul is, but he said he chose to be here, and I don't think he...
There was just
a strange circumstance surrounding him.
There were sort of two Pauls prominently involved with the case. Now, the first one I thought of was Sharon's child, her unborn child, who's buried with her, and his name was Paul. But also, Sharon's father was named Paul, and Sharon's father was quite devastated by the murders. Of course, who wouldn't be? And Paul actually, he was in his 40s, he was military, he grew his hair long and tried to sort of infiltrate the hippie community down on Sunset to try to figure out who did this, because the murder went unsolved for a few months. So Paul was, desperate to find out what happened to his daughter and her friends. But as I said initially, when you asked that, I thought of the baby that Sharon was carrying.
I thought he got stabbed.
I don't actually think that the baby was harmed, but it certainly came close because she was stabbed 16 times.
Okay.
And they did autopsy the baby separately from her. And we were just talking a little while ago about the child. So there's the urban legend that he was removed from her womb, and that just never happened. Susan Atkins was toying with the idea, and had that happen, as I said a little while ago, the baby would have probably lived because he was 8.5 months developed. But as that was not the case, and the child eventually died after Sharon did.
Well, I got Paul. I felt like Paul was here, and I got some goosebumps off of him.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like he was connected to the murder.
And Gavin, what?
Yeah, it was. I had a particularly weird experience in the same area, but a different link to Mark, because we were kind of discussing this. This is the cool thing about two psychics working together, mm-hmm. To differentiate if it's the same link or different. It was a different thing. I felt it was something different. I felt very strongly that it was nothing to do with the Manson thing. A guy was there. I was just stood on the, just on the little balcony, came through the patio doors, and I was looking down, actually, down this direction, down the street there. And I felt like the name, it was something Reeves, okay? Separate. I didn't catch his first name. Died in the vicinity, not in his house, nothing to do with the murders. And I got some embarrassment from that spirit. He felt very embarrassed. He felt a little bit ashamed about something. And quite withdrawn in himself. So,
was he outside too? You said he died outside?
Outside of this house. I feel like it wasn't in this house. It was in this area I don't know if he died outside or inside his own house.
Okay, I've got to interrupt because Scott, the skeptic's eyes just got really big when you said that, Gavin. So, Scott,
oh, tell me.
Well, we're above Benedict Canyon Drive right now, and down below us, probably directly below us, is the 1400 block of Benedict Canyon. At the 1500 block is where Superman George Reeves was murdered in 1959, died in 1959. Supposedly a suicide. In fact, the coroner did reopen the case recently just to verify that it was a suicide, but there's been a lot of speculation as to what exactly happened that night.
Oh my.
So, Superman.
Definitely separate then to this case.
Yeah.
But he's floating about too.
Superman
likes you.
So maybe he Reeves. Just flew up.
And he was stopped by a speeding bullet. I go for the cheap one. So
yeah, well, that's all right.
You got a reaction out of that.
I liked it. I liked it. So we're dealing with other spirits as well as the Manson spirits here. So that's cool. Yeah, obvious. I wish I caught his first name. He did say it, but I didn't catch the first bit of the name. I just got the Reeves very loud and clear.
How funny!
I was looking down. I was looking down from the balcony, which is funny as well. So.
Well, yeah. you got a reaction out of Scott, which is like miraculous.
It's
absolutely miraculous. And guys, if you guys hear something that you think is a cat around us, it's not an EVP. It's a very vocal, very beautiful cat named Tommy that wants to be part of the show as well. So are you...
George Reeves.
Are you guys going to go back out right now and see what's going on? And I'm going to continue on with Scott for a little bit, but please come back before the break if something else comes on. I mean, this is like the first go-round, the first 20 minutes you're out there. We've got two hits.
Also, Mike's got some great clips of the old newsreels and things that we're going to be playing in a bit as well.
Cool. Oh, great. That's going to lend to the atmosphere.
We'll definitely report back. Also, me and Mark just stepped in there then, and we did kind of pay our respects to the spirits that are here. Mm-hmm. I know we don't want to be tied with the same brush of, you know, making a big hoo-ha about them. We want to come in with respect and let them do it at their own pace. So,
yes.
Mm-hmm.
We're here out of service and to be helpful, and if there's something they want us to communicate, we're here for that.
Definitely out of respect.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow.
We've got the
cake.
It might be the computer.
It just stopped.
Okay, we've got a K2 meter on the table.
When we said
we were out, that we were here out of respect.
Oh, bear with me.
It's just going bananas.
It's the paranormal puck.
The puck is affecting it?
Oh.
Phew, okay.
Say, wow.
I know.
It's like the circus just pulled into town.
Yeah. I know. God, I was thinking this is...
I just actually put on the paranormal puck, George Reeves, are you here? And the paranormal puck was like, gone. It came up gone.
So it just popped into the cell very quickly.
Would it do it over
wow. All right. So, I mean, there is definitely stuff going on.
Could you ask if Paul is still here?
I have been asking that as well. It's not been responded. George Reeves, are you here? And it's just responding back, gone.
Wow.
All right, so Superman is gone again.
He's flown from Superman.
He left faster than a speeding bullet this time. Yeah. All right, well, Mark and Gavin are going to go back out and do a little bit more investigating and see who they pick up. And Scott, do you want to talk a little bit more about the murders?
Sure.
Right before the break, you said there was something specific you were going to talk about.
Well, I mean, specifically, no. I mean, I'm just caught up in this, as are most people. And this coming weekend, the 8th and the 9th of August are the actual anniversary. So a lot of us actually head up to the El Coyote where the victims had their last meal and sort of acknowledge the event, not celebrate it, of course, but we all hold this fascination with the murders, and so that'll be us doing that on the weekend. So if anyone wants to come up there around 8 o'clock, just ask for Dilly Departed, and they're usually nice and hold us a little table for that. But it's just a continual fascination. In fact, if you don't mind, I'll just take a second to promote the DVD that we had made a couple of months ago called The 6 Degrees of Helter Skelter.
Yes.
And it's the first time the story has actually been told geographically. Usually it's how could this have happened? And this is all where it all happened. And we've been in this house. David led us in to do the filming, and we were lucky enough to be able to do an investigation in this house, and that's one of the extra features. But we basically went about and filmed where all these things happened back in 1969. We went to J.C. Brings Old Salon. We went to the place where the killers threw the clothes out the window of the of their car. They threw the gun out the window of the car. And all these things are documented in this documentary. I'm pretty proud of it. So if anyone is interested in it, they could go to a website called helterskelterfilm.com and see clips. But they don't have to buy the thing, but see clips, and you'll see that it's a pretty interesting story. And I tried really hard not to manipulate the story, but just to tell it as the facts are the facts. So I'm pretty proud of it, and it's been getting some good reviews, and it's going to be released internationally soon. So yay us.
That's good. Martin just told me that Mike's got the NBC Newsreel clip of the day or the reporting on the murder, so I think we're going to go ahead and play that right now.
Oh, terrific.
A wandering band of members of a so-called religious cult with a leader they call Jesus has had three of its followers arrested in the investigation of the murder of Sharon Tate and six others. Those arrested are two women and one man, and the Los Angeles police said they would ask murder indictments against several others. Five women are being held as material witnesses. This is where they lived, among the stables, barns, and phony buildings of an old rundown movie location 20 miles from Los Angeles. They called themselves The Family. They came and went, and the number varied from 20 to 30. Police said they were a pseudo-religious cult. People who worked on the ranch said they were heavy users of drugs.
They were constantly taking dope and stealing cars, and they just sit around all day and sleep, and that's about it. And they went around collecting garbage and had that for dinner and went to the store once in a while, and that was about it. They just slept and got loaded.
The family left the caves they'd been living in on the Spawn movie ranch in the early fall, after the Tate murders. Later, police raided the ranch and found stolen cars. The family set up another camp in the desert, near Death Valley. Five members are now in jail on other charges in the desert town of Independence. The family's leader, Charles Manson, is jailed here. It is expected that he will be charged in the Tate murders. People who lived with Manson on the ranch and in the desert denied that they were a violent group.
We were just playing. That's what the whole thing is. That we were all we was doing out there was playing. You know.
Well, what kind of guy was Charlie?
He's a good person. A very good person. He's got a lot of peace.
Was he out there all the time?
I don't even know. You know, he'd take off over mountains and just let it be. He just wander around.
Was anybody stealing anything out there?
Yeah, but what's there to steal? We don't want to bother nobody. You know, all we want to do is get away from this city.
Police apparently got their break in the Tate case when this girl, Susan Atkins, a member of Manson's family, was arrested in another Los Angeles murder and talked to a cellmate about the Tate killings.
According to the police, and they have, in fact, shown me some evidence which indicates that they have a reason to believe that she may have been involved in both those other episodes, at least to some extent. I can say this much, though. She has at no time ever actually herself physically killed any person.
Are you saying she may have been present, though?
The police evidence has revealed to me would indicate that she was.
Okay. Now you know what it sounded like the day after the murder, or right soon after the murder?
That was when they had Atkins in custody, and this was about December, and she's the one that broke the case. She's the one that that sort of blabbed to her cellmate what they have done. Guess what we did? Very proud. And the cellmate's the one that reported it. And they already had the murderers in custody for other crimes, petty crimes, but they hit pay dirt.
Wow, they sure did. We have a very special guest here right now. Dave, I hope you're listening, because I think your tongue's been hanging on the ground for 2 days. We've got Bridget Marquardt here from The Girls Next Door and Bridget's Sexiest Beaches. And she has something to say to Dave, and then we're going to ask her a little bit about her interest in the paranormal.
Hi, Dave. Thanks for being such a great fan.
And also Mike Lear is kind of, his tongue is out there too. I think.
Oh, Mike, well. Dave, where are you guys?
Why the hell don't we have video on this?
Where's the webcam?
Oh, so Bridget's here because she does have a big interest in the paranormal. I know she and Scott did a little bit of a tour. Went to the Black Dahlia, and
right. We went all over.
Yeah, went to the Alexandria, to the Comedy Store, the George Hodel House, and yeah, we spent a nice day together. It was fun. It was fun.
Driving around in a hearse.
Well, how else? I mean, you have to go in style if you're going.
Exactly.
And you know, I've always wondered. I mean, you lived at the Playboy Mansion so long, and the history of that mansion is so colorful. I guess
it's
a good way to put it. Did you feel anything in the mansion itself?
I absolutely did. In fact, we did we had a ghost investigation come, and we did a whole thing there. They found that I was actually the conduit, that the house itself wasn't haunted, but I was pulling energies in somehow. I don't claim to be an aficionado on how all of it works, but definitely the meters, when they put them over me, were spiking to crazy numbers, and there were orbs in the pictures around me and that kind of thing. So it definitely seemed to push more towards me being the kind of the cause of what was going on there. But it was great. I've always had an interest. When I was about 13, I started seeing things and experiencing things and becoming sensitive to certain things. And I wouldn't say that I'm psychic or sensitive all the time, but I definitely have experienced some things. And even just here, they took me around downstairs to the house, and I started feeling like a pressure on my chest and felt like it was hard to breathe. And at first I was playing it off. No. Because I always try to rationalize. I always play it off first. I always think of what else can it be. And then my palms are super sweaty. I mean, you can see them.
They're
really sweaty. And I feel a little bit of a rapid heartbeat. But when I was downstairs watching the movie, they just did like a little put clips together, documentary style. I started getting stabbing pains in my stomach too. Dang. So, I mean, nothing critical, nothing major, but I just feel like, okay, is this all in my head, or am I really experiencing things here? But, of course, I'd like to believe that I really am.
I think you are. I mean, I would go down there. I won't go down, sir.
No?
No, see, you're braver than Scott.
Oh, my gosh.
No.
Well, no, we even went down into like a basement area and everything. It's very cool. I'm definitely experiencing some things, and, like to stay here longer and see what you guys find.
Oh, stay with us the night, because I think there's going to be a lot of good stuff going on. And, you know, the way you said you wonder why, you know, you're feeling this stuff, people that do have a sensitivity, they act like beacons. You will attract spirits like at the house and even here too. So the sensitivity to picking up either residual energy or an active haunting, I mean, it's very likely that you're just a good conduit.
You said you've seen apparitions?
I have before.
Of like people or?
It started with my great grandfather when he passed away when I was 13.
Yeah.
I saw him full body from down the hall and other places.
Wow.
That's what it started with.
Okay. Did it freak you out or were you okay with it?
It definitely freaked me out. I thought there was something wrong with me. I was scared. It wasn't always a positive thing either. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it would turn very negative, like buggy and dead looking. And it was normal. And my mom had me talk to our pastor at our church. And I think he kind of thought I was crazy and had me start writing everything down in a diary that would happen. And later the diary turned up missing.
Oh, wow.
And it was nothing that my parents would have to take or anything like that. I was very open with them about it and would read them entries and talk to them about it. And so for it to turn up missing was really very strange.
Yeah.
It's never turned up.
Never seen it again. Mm-hmm. How interesting.
I'd like to interject and just a note here. Guys, I'm reading the chat room, so watch what you write. It's only good, though. If you guys have a question for Bridget, like I said, I've got my eye on the chat, so feel free to send it over right now. And I think Mike said we could take a call or two, so just get a hold of Mike Lear. But okay, We've got people lying in the chat room claiming to be single, and I know they're not. And I'm not mentioning any names, Mike. But, and Dave's behaving, so this is good. I don't know if I dreamed this or not. I was watching one of the episodes of Girls Next Door. Did you take a course on paranormal or something?
I did.
I'm kind of half remembering that.
I did. I was taking courses just kind of online and at home through kind of a college where you send it away, send it back, and get certified in paranormal investigation. I did it more just for fun and for the learning experience, and I never actually finished it to get the certificate. I wanted to do it to investigate the mansion.
Okay. We do have a message. A question from chat, from Cat in chat. We've got this cat sitting next to us.
We do.
She wants to know what's next for you in your career. What's going on?
Well, I just finished Bridget's Sexiest Beaches, and I've been traveling around the world for the last 7 months, so which is amazing, amazing experience. Having a lot of fun with that, but it was a lot of work.
Oh, it was great.
So I'm glad to be home and trying to get back on track, finding a place to live because I moved out of the mansion in the while I was gone, kind of, and now I'm just waiting to. I'm closing escrow on a house now. Maybe it's haunted. We'll have to investigate.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm looking into getting an agent now and taking meetings with E and other international type things. So we'll see.
Do you know when you buy a house in Los Angeles? I've learned this recently.
Oh,
there's
no.
Only a 3-year.
Yes.
That they have to tell you something. Even if it's the Manson murder.
The disclosure law.
See, I thought the disclosure was unlimited if it ever happened there. But my real estate agent just told me, actually, we were signing forms, and it said within the last 3 years.
What's the point?
I imagine the wisest thing to do is go knock on the house next door. Knock on the door and say, hey, anything happened over
right.
here?
And the girl next door can knock on the house next door.
Yeah. Hi, I'm the girl next door. No, really, I'm the girl next door.
That works. I'm tongue-tied because I'm trying to read and talk at the same time, which isn't always a good thing for me. Do you go out on investigations ever, or, is there an interest to do that?
I would love to. I haven't had the time. I mean, I was at the mansion and then, the travel show, but since I've been home, I recently went to the Stanley Hotel I went on a ghost investigation there, which was a lot of fun. I wouldn't say that we found anything concrete, but it was also very busy. There was 2 weddings going on, lots of noise. It was really hard to sit down and concentrate and really have a good investigation going on. But they did tell me I should come back in the fall because it's a lot better to investigate then. It's a little more quiet there, easier.
Yeah, don't they close in the fall and winter?
The scenic pass that comes over, that closes down in the winter time. But I think you can still get there through the major freeways and through Estes Park.
Mm. That's one place I do want to go to.
It's beautiful.
Did you go into that room? Because didn't King get the inspiration for The Shining in that hotel?
We went to all different rooms. We started out in the carriage house, and they'd never let anyone investigate in the carriage house before. So
really?
The night I was there was the first night.
Oh, cool.
So, and it was where they did the Stanley Steamer, and all of that was put together, and there was the mechanics area. And then we were in the ballroom and the tea room, the billiards room. We just went all over the place.
Wow. And did you get anything?
We heard some tapping, and it was in relation to asking questions. If there's somebody here, please let us know. Give us some sort of indication. And we heard I mean, it was just as light as that. Oh. And to where you were like, wait, I thought I heard a tap. And then the other people were like, no, I thought I heard a tap too. Wait, if that was you, tap again. And there was a little delay, and then there was another tap, but it still wasn't concrete enough for me.
It's always that way.
The other weird thing that happened there, though, is I used the same curling iron. I've used it forever. I was curling my hair to go to dinner, and my curling iron kept shutting off. I mean, ridiculous amount of times. And first time it was the surge protector thing, and I pushed it. And then the second time it was the surge protector again, so I pushed it again. And then just the curling iron itself kept shutting off at least 10 times trying to curl my hair, which has never happened before. So I don't know if it's an electrical issue with the Stanley Hotel or if it's something paranormal. Somebody did not want me. They were like, you're having straight hair tonight. I don't like curls.
Bridget, there was a question in the chat room from Mike, and he was wondering, what are your plans for Halloween? Because I believe that's your favorite holiday, isn't it?
It is my favorite holiday. And what I'm really hoping to do is to do, from the end of September to Halloween, go around and visit all kinds of haunted attractions. It would be so awesome. I mean, from real haunted places to Not Scary Farm and Universal Studios and just all kinds of things. I really want to enjoy the holidays the first year that I can really go out and explore everything that's out there. But for actual Halloween night, I've been asked to be the Grand Marshal for the big Key West Fantasy Fest.
Oh, wow.
So they kind of shut down the whole city. They have huge Mardi Gras style floats. They really go all out for Halloween, and I'm Grand Marshal of it.
How fun is that?
So I'm really excited.
Oh, my God.
Do you have an idea for your costume yet?
I do.
You're not going to tell, are you?
It's vampires, vixens, and villains is the theme. And so I'm not going to give away what I'm going to be, but let's just say it's something down the vampire realm, but without being a vampire.
Okay.
All right. We're going to leave it at that for 1 second. We've got to go to break and have visions of vampires in your head while we're gone. And we'll be back after the break with Bridget and Scott. Stay put, guys.
You're listening to the Manson Murder Investigation, live on Para X, sponsored in part by StarCrafters in La Mesa, California. Check out their website at www.starcraftersob.com, the online resource for your pagan and metaphysical needs. And by South Coast Paranormal Tours. Check them out at www.scparanormaltours.com. Dare to explore the unknown. We'll be back with more from the live investigation in just a moment.
Positively Psychics. Join your host, Mark Christopher Nelson, for fascinating interviews with leading experts in the paranormal field. Positively Psychics. Call in for a free reading and contact your guides, guardian angels, friends, and loved ones on the other side. Positively Psychics. Thursday evenings, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. Positively Psychics. Only on the Para-X Radio Network.
Are you walking around with a broken heart? Do you feel something is not quite wrong, but not quite right either, and you can't put your finger on it? Miss Lucy understands. So tune in Mondays at 3 p.m. Eastern to ILN Radio and begin to explore the possibilities. Exclusively on the Para-X Radio Network.
Jen, I have something to tell you. Yesterday, I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder.
How about a slice? Let's hit the food court.
Jen, I have something to tell you. Yesterday, I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder.
Well, we could just go see the 740 movie instead of the 645.
Jen, I have something to tell you. Yesterday, I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder.
You just need some new earrings and you'll feel a lot better.
When a friend tells you they've been diagnosed with a mental illness, it can be a little awkward. But what's even more awkward is, if you're not there for her, she'll be less likely to recover.
Jen, I have something to tell you. Yesterday, I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder.
Girl, I'm here for you. Whatever it takes.
Mental illness. What a difference a friend makes. For more information on how to help a friend dealing with mental illness, go to whatadifference.org. This message is brought to you by the Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Wherever there's a pool, there's always a flirt. Anytime to school, there'll always be homework. Wherever there's a beat, there's always a drum. Anytime there's fun, there's always Coca-Cola.
It's a time of sacrifice and duty. That's why all four military aid societies have joined together to form the Armed Forces Relief Trust to help military families cope with financial and medical emergencies at home. With so many serving overseas, the need is greater than ever. You can learn more and donate at www.afrtrust. To the Manson Murder Investigation, live from Beverly Hills. Sponsored in part by Dearly Departed Tours. Check them out at www.dearlydepartedtours.com. Now featuring the Helter Skelter Tour. Now, let's get back to the investigation with Gavin Cromwell, Marla Brooks, and Mark Christopher Nelson.
I'm waiting for all this cacophony of sound going on there. We've been told that we have a great number of listeners, not only in the Para-X chat room or everywhere else, but several countries. And so we thought it would be appropriate for Bridget to give us listeners where, Bridget?
Hello to everyone in the U.S., Canada, Belgium, Finland, France, Argentina, Australia, and Ireland. Hey, everyone! Happy ghost hunting!
Yeah, we're definitely going ghost hunting tonight. Now, Scott, you are not going down into that?
No. I really have no interest in going down there. No, it's just something, I don't know, basements alone freaked me out. And David was also explaining some sort of magnetic thing with the staircase, some access, some sort of conduit or poles.
Did you hear that?
I don't know. Magnetic, I did. Something or other. I don't.
Well, because he has a metal spiral staircase that goes to the middle of the house.
Mm-hmm.
So he's saying that's kind of like a bipolar conduit type of thing or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. There was a lot of words in there, the explanation, but I kind of got it. I saw you glazing over, but I thought you were really thinking about it.
That glazes over quite a bit. It's kind of annoying sometimes.
Oh, wait. Somebody just posted, too. You forgot Hawaii, but that's part of the
Michael,
U.S.
Yeah, Michael, you're part of the U.S. You just wanted Bridget to see that. All right.
Hello, Hawaii. Aloha.
There you go, Michael. You can live to see another day. Well, I also heard that this house is built on a ley line, which... Scott is looking at me like I've got,
I don't even know what that means.
Three more heads.
No, he was talking about magnetic fields. He was talking about lava running under the house, like a mile under the house. And that's what I asked him, why the heck is Sharon Tate here? Or he volunteered that information, that it's an attraction to them if they're in the area because of the metal pole and the lava, I guess. I don't know. It sounds like I'm mocking. I'm really not. David will explain it himself in a little bit.
Yes, and we are going to bring the homeowner, David Ullman, on pretty soon.
Guam.
And somebody is in Guam?
Yeah, I just saw Guam pop up. I'm like, wow.
I did too. Well, Mike, if you're going to make comments, could you explain them a little better? Because one word, things just aren't going. And then with the he after it. I think he's setting us up, Bridget. I honestly do. And just so you know, Mike is our producer tonight.
Okay.
So to have a wise guy producer, you know, it's a little bit strange. But somebody was talking about the fact that this house and the ley lines, that there's granite under the house in the soil. And as we all know, granite and quartz and things like that are very good receivers of energy. So maybe with, having the granite, having the ley lines, having the magnetic field.
The volcanic activity.
Volcanic activity.
David, I mean.
The metal staircase.
Tracy, when she walked in here, said that somebody died. Somebody died here. Not at the house down the road, but somebody died here. And after she questioned David, well, this house that we're in right now isn't that old. He had it built himself.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently there was, local Indian tribe that were here until the 1800s.
Mm-hmm.
And I think David said, I'm stealing his thunder. I don't mean to take his stories away from
him. Oh, he's got more.
But I think that, there were three deaths in the neighborhood of these Indians. And I think that's what maybe Tracy was picking up on.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, all of LA was Indian territory at one time. And I know you're from Lodi, I believe.
Right.
And that as well, I mean, all of southern Northern California, I guess it followed the river down. And I know a lot of activity in various areas is a lot of or at least it's blamed on Indians.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily that we dug up burial grounds or anything like that, but they were here first, and why wouldn't their spirits still be around?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, makes a lot of
when
sense.
When we were downstairs and we were in the basement, there's actually, you can see all the dirt that's part of the hillside still, like it's all under there. And he said that somebody told him that an Indian riding his horse fell off the cliff up here at one time, and that if they were to dig into that dirt right there, they'd find the remains of the Indian and his horse.
Okay, now, if that was my house and somebody told me to dig in the dirt, I would, wouldn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, me too.
Really? Would you look for
yeah.
that and
yeah.
and uncover it?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I just let it rest in peace.
I had a friend that lived in Bela Lugosi's old house on Outpost, and he was reading a Bela Lugosi biography and said that Bela buried one of his pet panthers in the backyard. So he went back and dug it up. There it was.
It really was
yeah.
there?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah, yeah, that begs so many questions. One, he had a pet panther, and two, he really buried it there.
This is Hollywood. Of course he had a pet.
Speaking of animals, Kat in the chat room wants to know how your dog and cat are doing.
They're doing wonderful. They are with my parents, grandma and grandpa, right now, completely being spoiled. They had to take them from me for a little bit since I was traveling doing the Bridget Sexiest Beaches show. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I was gone for 7 months, so... I told them no people food, blah, blah, blah. And then what do? I get pictures on my phone of Wednesday with a rib bone hanging out of her mouth and just being completely spoiled. So Gizzy's doing really well. She, sleeps on my mom's lap every night while they watch TV. And, I'm actually, since I'm closing escrow on the house this week, I will get them next week. So I'm really excited to have them back.
Are they still kind of at odds with each other?
No, you know what? Being put to my parents' house, they actually are getting, I think they had each other for a little while.
Oh my God, they bonded?
They kind of, I wouldn't say that they
all
are
right.
playing or anything, but they're definitely hanging out better.
Oh my God, that's fantastic. Because they were, I mean, I know Gizzy was annoyed a lot.
You know, some of that sound effects.
Well, I know. but you have to admit, Gizzy's facial expressions
they say
were
a lot.
Pretty telltale.
Yeah.
And poor Wednesday was kind of like, uh-oh. So, okay, so I'm glad that the family will be brought back together again.
Yes, I'm so excited.
In a brand new house that perhaps... could be haunted.
We'll find out.
I know. Do you ever do anything, and this is kind of questionable among paranormal investigators and parapeople in general, have you ever used a Ouija board or do you any kind of divination?
I used a Ouija board back when I was 13, and that's after, and things started happening after that, and I don't know if it's attributed to the Ouija board or not, but let's just say I've never picked one up since.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My mom threw it away. I am too.
Wow.
I don't know. Do the spirits speak in Morse code? I'm not sure. But divination, Gavin. Ouija boards are always touted to be the worst things, but people can get in trouble with a pendulum or...
Oh, yeah. I mean, I say I'm not against it by any means. I think give anything a try, you know, if you want to get your proof there. But as long as you do it properly, as long as you open it up. I mean, when I use the Ouija board, something like that, I open it up properly with a prayer, with a blessing, you know, with the acknowledgement that I'm doing it for the greater good. And I close it back down afterwards. I always do it very carefully, very professionally. And, you know, I'm not against it.
And I think Bridget...
We're experiencing a little technical difficulties, probably paranormal. We're trying to get to him right now. We're calling back into Hidden Realms. All right. They should be back on air in just a moment, folks. This happens when you have a lot of psychic activity for some reason in a house. We end up getting a lot of, for some reason, the mechanics don't want to work. We've got
Hello?
Dave. Dave, are you there?
This is Billy.
Okay, sorry. Wrong number.
I think,
Oh, I think I tried to call the show a minute ago.
Oh, okay. All right.
Are you on the Para-X show?
Yeah, yeah. Hold on one second. We're trying to call them right now.
That's okay. No one was calling, and they kept saying talk to Bridget, so I called them. And
yeah, yeah. No, we'll have you on with her in just a second. Sometimes this happens for some reason when we're...
Okay.
Hold on one second. We are live on the air right now, by the way. This is Mike.
Okay.
I am the producer of the show. We are calling them right now, and they're hanging up again. I don't understand.
It's ghosts in the line tonight.
I think so. I'll tell you what, if you want to call back, let me hang up with you and go ahead and call back, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Hello, are you there?
Dun, dun.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello. Hey, you're back.
We are.
Yeah, you're back. You're live on the air. This is Mike. But you're back on the air. So you guys go ahead and take it, okay?
Okay, Mike. We are back. I want to call right back. Apparently, we were just thought it into somebody that kind of believes to the point of salt with to the cemetery to looking at all the gizmos and gadgets we have.
Hello, natural.
Marla, we have a caller on the line.
Hello.
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 Can you hear me?
Dan.
Marla, you're cutting in and out.
Are you there?
Yeah, they're here, but they're cutting in and out for some reason.
Somebody say hello again?
I'm calling from Kentucky, so maybe this just won't work tonight.
No, it'll work. It's the house. I'm telling you, this happens. It seems like they get into these spooky houses, and these things happen. Everything goes...
I heard Kentucky, so it's...
Yeah, everything goes wacko. Could I get you to call one more time?
Sure.
Okay, sorry about this.
All right.
All right.
Could you...
There we go. All right, we're hanging up, and we're going to call them back, and hopefully we can get through this time. We're trying to call them, guys. But this happens for some reason. If there's a lot of energy, a lot of power, for some reason, in a house, it seems like this can happen. It's happened quite a bit, actually. But we will... We're trying to get connected here. Hopefully they will connect. We're working on it. It may be... they were cutting in and out, which means it was probably something with their internet connection. So let's keep trying. We'll try a little bit longer here. If not, folks, we're going to go to a break. Try to get reestablished with the show. And we'll go from there. How does that sound? We'll try to keep it here. Let's keep going for a little bit longer. See if we can get done. Well, folks, it doesn't look like...
The person whom you're trying to reach is currently unavailable.
Thank you very much. Okay, we'll hang up there. All right. Let's try calling them again. I think they're trying to call me at the same time I'm trying to call them. Could be happening. Sorry about this, folks. This happens. It's a live show. This is, of course, we're broadcasting live from the Manson murder area. They're just a few houses down from where the house was. Tell you what, let me go over and we'll do a quick break, and then we'll be back in just a moment with more from the live investigation from the Manson area right here on the Para-X Radio Network.
The Manson Murder Investigation, live from Beverly Hills, is sponsored in part by Starcrafters in La Mesa, California. Check out their website at www.starcraftersob.com, the online resource for your pagan and metaphysical needs. And by South Coast Paranormal Tours. Check them out at www.scparanormaltours.com. Dare to explore the unknown. Stay tuned. There'll be more from the live investigation in just a moment. Join the Morning X every Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. till noon. She's my terrible. Right here on your source for everything paranormal. Para-X. Paranormal fans, make plans now to attend Phantasm 2009, hosted by Sepia and the Browncoat Pub and Theater. This four-day event takes place Thursday, September 10th through Sunday, the 13th, in beautiful downtown Wilmington, North Carolina. Meet the team from Sepia, plus get readings from special guest speaker, renowned radio host, and world-famous psychic, Gavin Cromwell. This event includes a special dinner on Thursday, a ghost walk on Friday, participation in an investigation on Saturday, with a brunch and review Sunday. Plus, there'll be vendors, private readings, and more. This event is limited to the first 50 people who sign up. So don't delay. Reserve your seat today. For more information and to reserve your seat, go to www.sepianc.com. Groups welcome and discounted rooms are available for this event. That's www.sepianc.com. Phantasm 2009. Don't miss your chance. Reserve your seat today.
Food for the mind, spirit, and soul. The Black Cat Lounge, now serving Mondays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on the Para-X Radio Network.
Global warming is here. The effects may seem slight now,
but in a few decades, they could be massive. Heat waves, floods, and food shortages. What can we do? We can join together. Because when many, unite as one.
We can achieve anything.
Together, we're powerful. Find out how we can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. Go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
You take the family to the food court. Your wife and Pete head for tacos. You and Danny want Chinese. You look up at the menu. You look down to see what Danny wants. But you don't see Danny.
Danny!
Every parent knows that feeling. Imagine if he were actually abducted. To receive free Amber Alerts on your cell phone, go to wirelessamberalerts.org. A child is calling for help. Brought to you by the Wireless Foundation, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, and the Ad Council.
I'm so glad we left that stupid party.
No joke.
Hey, baby, are you an overdue library book? Because you got fine written all over you.
Ugh, barf. What about that girl with the hoop earring?
Ridiculous. When she was dancing...
Megan, look out! Look out!
Oh, my God, Becky. Becky, are you okay? My arm. I think it's broken. Can you bend it? It's already bent. In the wrong direction. I can't believe this. I'm so sorry. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Really? Just buzzed?
Yeah, I swear.
Well, in that case,
my arm is fine.
Ah, that's better.
You're really okay? You're serious, Becky?
No, genius. I'm not serious.
My arm, it hurts.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
Of genius.
Real man of genius.
Today, woo, Mr. In the Car Nose Picker.
Mr. In the Car Nose Picker.
For you, the daily commute isn't simply a drive to the office. It's a hands-on exploration deep into your schnoz.
I'm going in now.
With pinpoint accuracy and sheer determination, you dig for boogers like miners dig for gold.
Hit the jackpot!
And why do you do it? Because the windows are up and you think we can't see you. We can.
How you doing?
So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, oh, nabber of the nose nugget. We'd like to shake your hand, but you'll have to wash it first.
Mr. Endicott knows Pecker.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Well, hello there. My name is Sven Lickergood. I am the head of quality control here at the Yo Mama Beer Factory. Only the best of everything goes into Yo Mama. And to guarantee the quality, we have a whole team of men whose job it is to sample Yo Mama every hour. These men take real pride in their work and make sure that only the best goes inside Yo Mama. So the next time you pop Yo Mama, remember, these men were hard at work to make Yo Mama the best. Now, that's good.
Yo Mama Beer. Pop Yo Mama today.
Imagine a world where this sound was never heard again. It's hard to imagine such a world, but it could happen. Luckily, there is a place where caring people are dedicated to stop such a tragedy from happening. Wolf Hollow is a nonprofit organization which began its mission in 1988 by the late Paul Safran to dispel the myths about one of the most misunderstood creatures on our planet, the great wolf. But they need your help.
Hi, this is Joni Safran, the director of Wolf Hollow in Ipswich, Massachusetts. Won't you help us to preserve, protect, and educate people about the majestic wolf? Your donation will help us help them. Thank you.
Go to www.wolfhollowipswich.org to find out how you can help. That's www.wolfhollowipswich.org. Please do it today. Don't let the howl be silenced. You've enjoyed Para X on your computer at work and at home. But today, there's a new way to listen to your favorite shows. X has gone mobile. That's right. Para X is now available on the Nokia Internet Radio Network. Now, you can take Para X with you wherever you go. Never miss your favorite shows again. Para X on your cell phone. Tune in today. Nokia Internet Radio is available on all Nokia portable devices with access to the Internet. Your source for everything paranormal. Para X. Now on Nokia.
The best man, they've got the greatest guest man. I mean, I'm a great big fan, man. Yeah, I love Para X. I love Blue Nights Beyond Ghost, the Ghost Mafia, Ghost Lab, Ghost Chatter, Ghost Man and Demon Hunter, Whispers in the Dark, Paranormal View, Spirited History, High Spirits Radio, TCP, Graphology, Ghostology with Brian and Anne Marie. I love Para X, man. I love Para X, man. The shows are just the best, man. They've got the greatest guest, man. I mean, I'm a great big fan, man. Yeah, I love Para X. Inside the Box, Island Ghost Radio, Paravision Radio, Paranormal Insight, Positively Psychic, CPO Radio, Hidden Realms, Haunted Down Under, Shadows in the Dark, Strange But True Radio, Strange Frequencies, they're all great to me. I love Para X, man, I love Para X, man. The shows are just the best, man, they've got the greatest guest, man. I mean, I'm a great big fan, man, I love Para X. Texas After Dark, the Sacred Division, The Other Side, Reflection with McCain, Stirring the Cauldron, The Black Cat Lounge, Caps Paranormal, The Man Who Talks to Angels, Island, IPR, Lights Out, Twilight, The Morning X, Para X is just the best. I love Para X, man, I love Para X, man. The shows are just the best, man. They've got the greatest guest, man. I mean, I'm a great big fan, man. Yeah, I love Para X.
Yeehaw! Okay, folks, sorry about the holdup. Apparently, some things shut down over where they're at. Marla is supposed to be calling me right now. She should be on the line here any moment now and to give us an update on what happened and see if maybe we just had a paranormal event of some sort over there at the house, because all of a sudden things just stopped working, apparently, and they went off the air over there. It sounded like they were getting ready to go when we were talking that last little bit. Not sure what happened. Right now, they're still not on the air. Hopefully, Marla will call me back any second now. In fact, what the heck? Let's call her. Let's just do it this way. We'll call her on her cell phone, because that's the only phone they have working right now, apparently. So we will. We're calling into Marla Brooks right now. Coming up on the top of the hour, you're listening to the live investigation at the Manson Area murder site. For those of you just tuning in, stick with us. It is live radio. These things happen.
Well, you didn't find me here. Try somewhere else.
Okay. Well, that's just lovely. Let's try calling another number and see what happens. You never know. Okay, let's call this number. What the heck? We're just going to keep calling numbers till we get somebody, folks.
Your call has been forwarded to an automated...
Oh, isn't that special? Tell you what, let's go into a little bit of music. We'll see if we can't get somebody on the air at some point here. Let me see, because I'm not sure what's going on right now, but, you know, it's live radio. We'll find out what's going on, and we'll get back with you in just a moment.
Jumping that paddle wheel, bumping black water, keep rolling on fast just the same.
Oh, black water, keep on rolling.
Mississippi moon, won't you keep on shining on me?
Oh, black water, keep on rolling.
Mississippi moon, won't you keep on shining on me?
Oh, black water, keep on rolling.
Mississippi moon, won't you keep on shining on me? Yeah, keep on.
Hello, hi, we're back. And that was very smooth. Hi, this is Mark and Gavin.
Hello, everybody. I'm sorry about our little gremlins there, but there is a reason we think that this has happened tonight. It seemed to happen, actually. We were downstairs, and in one of the bedrooms, actually, and we were just taking downstairs here with Dave and myself, Mark, Teresa, Tracy, Barbara. We went downstairs, and it was instantly to that bedroom. Mm-hmm. I knew she was there. It was a female energy. She sounded very intense in her voice. Didn't get the visual for her first of all. It was just the audio of her kind of sounding very distressed. And Dave said, yeah, I have experiences with the spirit of Sharon Tate in this room. And you guys had the dowsing rods.
Yes.
And the pendulums were out. And as you were doing that in the bathroom section, I was stood in the bedroom with Dave, with Teresa. And to me, the image of Sharon Tate did appear in a bathrobe, looking very serene. And Dave got very emotional, very tearful as this happened. We've taken some photographs to see if anything would show. We're yet to look at them. But as she appeared, everything went dead.
Wow.
Yeah, all the laptops, the communication, phones, everything. Everything went as she appeared.
You know, when we were downstairs, when we came back up, we also were in part of a house where I guess this home has Native American energy around it as well. Native Americans lived in this area, and that coincided with, like, all of a sudden, several of us got headaches. We'll come tell you more about it when we come back from our break.
You're listening to the Manson Murder Investigation, live on Para X, sponsored in part by StarCrafters in La Mesa, California. Check out their website at www.starcraftersob.com, the online resource for your pagan and metaphysical needs. And by South Coast Paranormal Tours. Check them out at www.scparanormaltours.com. Dare to explore the unknown. We'll be back with more from the live investigation in just a moment.
Your source for everything normal. Para X.
It's the Manson Area Murder Investigation, live on Para X. Tonight, Hidden Realms' Gavin Cromwell, Stirring the Cauldron's Marla Brooks, and Positively Psychic's Mark Christopher Nelson combine shows for a live investigation in Beverly Hills. Sponsored in part by StarCrafts, the online resource for your pagan and metaphysical needs. And by South Coast Paranormal Tours, dare to explore the unknown. And by Dearly Departed Tours, now featuring the Helter Skelter Tour. Now, once again, let's go live to your hosts, Gavin Cromwell, Marla Brooks, and Mark Christopher Nelson.
Okay, we're back. We were just talking about the fact that we had both run into different things at different parts of the house just prior to the internet going down. So I have to think that there's a lot of energy in this home, there's a lot of spirit activity, and I think it's really playing havoc with some of our electronics. Wouldn't you say, Gavin?
Oh, absolutely. You were talking about being in an area of the house that felt very native to you.
Yes, yes. According to David, who is the owner, he was saying that this is an area that had been long settled by Native Americans. Mm-hmm. There's actually part of the house where we went in the basement where there's just a big dirt hill. It's unfinished and it's, you know, just, there's no concrete, there's no nothing. And we very much felt that all of us started to get headaches at almost the exact same time.
Yeah, it was very intense in there, especially the room with this, the computers and all.
Yes.
Bizarre.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
What's the gentleman?
Jack Johnson.
Jack Johnson. Very spinny, very dizzy in that room. We didn't stay in there for very long. We kind of made a quick exit out of there, but it felt, again, that unbalanced there. Something messing around with the computers. It was almost like a spirit learning to communicate through the computer. You know, it was a weird sort of thing, and we kind of left that. But it was very... I don't know. I can't put it.
Well, you know what I think it was, Gavin, is it wasn't a huge room, but it was filled with memorabilia. And for someone who's sensitive, who's picking up energy on different things, it created kind of an intense environment. Right away, there's like wall-to-wall photos. There's little pieces of this and that, a lot of historical items. I think that could be a little, and it's from a different time, all, you know, turn of the last century.
As well, Scott. Scott Michaels, I'm thinking of. There's so many people around me. Mark, I do apologize. There's an altar in this house.
Oh, yes.
There's an altar set up in this house, and there's also crystals dotted around. Crystals for communication with spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So they are kind of feeding off energy from that and whatever might take place over the altar over there. So, you know, and lots of variety.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about the native. We're talking about spirits outside of this home, mm-hmm. that's in the vicinity, in this area of Hollywood, as well as to do with the murders. There's so many different levels here.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. There seems to be a lot of famous people, a lot of famous deaths. One of the names we picked up, we heard a woman's D name in the basement.
Oh, this is cool. Yeah.
Yeah. And we were thinking that she had been strangled. There was, like, I felt pressure around my neck. Me and Tracy both felt pressure and a hit in the head. And as it turns out that very close, I mean, to say it's like on another hill. I mean, the hill is, you know, you can look out the out the window and the house is closer than you would think, but there are hills in between. And it turned out that it was a woman named Doris Duke that was killed not that far from where we are. I mean, like, she's like one
said literally just across.
You can look across and see your house right there.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, because there's a lot of celebrities in this area,
yeah,
that they may be very attracted to being on the radio, to being affiliated with the production. And so it doesn't surprise me at all that you're getting a lot of activity.
Exactly. Their career was in the limelight, you know, mm-hmm. and getting their message, their name out there. They worked very hard to get to that point, mm-hmm. And still want to be remembered. You know, and just even if they can get a little bit of their presence known during the show tonight, then they're going to do it.
Oh.
They use our energy as well as the electrical energy that's here tonight. I mean, any sort of energy source, mm-hmm. as you know, Mark, mm-hmm. A spirit will use.
Well, you know what? In a way, we've tried to be subtle about this, but how about a little bit of a circus has come to town, so everyone wants to come out and see us.
It really is. And, you know, we come, like I said, with respect, with no
yes.
judgment. And, you know, like I said, it's hard just getting here to escape those images of the murder scene flashing before you, but actually coming deeper into the house, it's kind of stepping away from that. You mm-hmm. know, you're not getting that kind of real intensity of that actual event happening. You're starting to get to know the actual people mm-hmm. that were involved, their personalities, mm-hmm. the type of people they were,
mm-hmm.
as well as their neighbors, by all accounts now.
Yes,
you know?
They're all over for a block party.
They are. They're all here for an absolute big spiritual block party,
yeah.
and they're all making contact, you know. It's quite interesting. But when Sharon appeared in her robe there, she was... everything went dead.
We're dead. I don't think we can. No, we're still on the air.
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay, I'm not hearing it very much.
Oh my God! I know.
Not again.
Not again.
Not again. No, I think we're good. I would tell you too that there are a lot of sensitive people here tonight. So I tend to think that. Don't you think that if you can be heard,
yeah.
that there you're going to show up?
I know. I just feel. Yeah, I mean, like you said, if they're going to be heard, they're going to show up. I mean, it wouldn't be surprised if we do get some EVPs during the show tonight.
Oh, that would be very interesting.
Yeah.
I would be very curious.
Yeah,
well,
it feels that powerful.
Well, if you hear someone other than Gavin or myself speaking right now, then that would be an EVP.
Yes, unless Marla Brooks pops in or the cat does a really strange
meow.
But it's looking great here. The house is kind of settling a little bit in for the evening. You know, I'm looking around now and, you know, no visual spirits right now. But interesting to go downstairs and experience those bedrooms.
I agree. I mean, there's something about, like, it's a very vertical home. It's three floors down.
Yeah.
It's you can go. You do feel like the staircase, too. It feels like you're... that there is activity even associated around staircases. I know that's a traditional thing. Spirit wants to be around staircases or something about that.
Yeah.
I had someone in the chat room.
Yes.
Yes.
Dean said she's picking up on a Daniel, Danny, or a Betty.
Oh.
Did you guys pick
Daniel or Betty? I'm not sure if those names have been mentioned, Mark.
Well, we said that there was a strong sound of a female's name that began with a D, a Doris or a Deborah.
Okay.
So you may be picking up on that.
Yeah, absolutely. Please, don't discount these names when you get them. Thank you so much for saying that, by the way. Who said that?
Ladine.
Thank you, Ladine.
Thank you, Ladine. I mean, this is so important. Like I say, I'm all about people being very open with what they're picking up on. Please, you know, don't feel crazy. Say it, because more often than not, it is going to be linked to something. You know, you guys are linking in tonight, doing fantastic. You're sending us this energy. We're feeling it. So, you know, you're picking up on these names. Say it, okay? It's important
yes.
to us. We'll definitely keep those names on record and report back to you.
The thing, too, is that you have to trust. I mean, that's one of the things about this
very
work.
Very important to trust your intuition. I mean, we've both learned to do that. It takes a long time.
Yes.
But, you know, you just say in the end, I'm going to trust this information that's given to me from Spirit, and I'm going to say it. I'm going to share it.
Yeah. You have to just close your eyes and step forward.
Yeah, and I always say this, Mark. You know, don't pressure yourself and don't think, you know, this information could be wrong. I'm going to look an idiot. I've got to get it right. Don't pressure yourself. Just say it.
Oh, yeah.
Just put it out there and say it, you know.
I have reserved the right to be wrong.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. Even the most amazing, best, incredible psychic in the world gets it wrong sometimes.
Of course.
You're human. You're human. I mean, your psychic abilities are a natural human instinct,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like...
If you think you're going to be right all the time, then get out of this business.
Forget it.
It's not going to happen. It won't happen. But the idea that Gavin gets it correct, or myself, so often that it makes it interesting, fascinating, and it makes you also think about how does the world work? I mean, are there dimensions? Are there spirits, you know, tapping on your shoulder all the time? I think there are.
Yeah, I do. And it's... Well, both of us, Mark, we've learned, like I said, to trust ourselves with the information. We've learned to deal with this. I mean, I don't know about you, but I feel very interested why, you know, I pick up these things sometimes and again, my God, this is crazy. And I shock myself sometimes. I'm sure you do.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that was right. Oh, I'm so glad.
Exactly.
You know,
it's
I didn't know.
George Reeves thing over there just then, and the Paul thing for you.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, it's incredible to get that confirmation straight away too, you know? And you think, good, I'm not going crazy. There is a genuine link going on here.
I've gotten past, I think I'm crazy, but there are still moments where I'm not sure.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, God, yeah.
You know,
yeah, I mean, again, you're only human, so doubts and a slight logical way of thinking does step in sometimes, even for the best psychics out there. So,
well, you know, the whole world is operated on, can I see it? Can I feel it? Can I touch it? Can I buy it? Where, I mean...
Physical results, quick physical results. That's what this kind of generation is all about right now, quick physical results. I want to see it, I want to feel it, I want it now.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I want to lose 170 pounds in just 30 days. No, I'm kidding.
6-minute abs.
Yes. No, I'm working on 6-year abs. I think that'll be more
I'm
like
with you on
three.
That, Mark, definitely.
Well,
body's the temple and all that. Forget it. I like my cheese fries.
Yeah. Well, I wish I'd had your problem. I mean, if I have cheese fries, I can watch my fingers swell up, so I don't think that's such a good
I'm
thing.
I'm very naughty. I'm sure it'll catch up with me one day, though. I don't care. I'm happy with myself. But, you know, going back to this location we're at, I'm seeing the girls, Marla and Teresa, coming up the stairs. They're seeing so much stuff happening. It's crazy down there, ladies, isn't it? Yeah, she is. Oh, really?
Where? When you were in the bedroom again.
Same bedroom? Yeah.
Well, that room definitely felt like a place where they were comfortable with being, because that's where the owner is. I think that Sharon definitely does spend time in there. I felt her being in the room. I felt like she was watching, very comfortable, at ease there. I think that part of it is that David is very at ease there. That's where he relaxes, and I think that that's where they spend a lot of time communicating.
And David does seem to be able to communicate with her on a very comfortable level. And it seems to be in that room seems specifically comfortable for him to communicate with her. And it seems very personal there too, you know.
Yes.
So it's that room seems to be kind of centering activity. And that's where she appeared when mm-hmm. all our kind of systems went dead up here. So, yeah.
One of the things I want, maybe a little bit later, we could take a little walk towards closer to on the property where all of this happened. But if we took maybe a little walk towards the gate, closer to the place, I'd be curious to see if we get anything, if I pick up on any kind of feelings about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the thing, too, is that we're driving up here, and I was just thinking about how someone could, you know, come to the decision we're going to do this.
Exactly.
And to go into such a beautiful place with such an evil intent.
I was feeling that, too, Mark. I mean, we're just looking at a picture here now from Marla, and she's got a fascinating photograph. Show Mark, Marla. Right to the center there.
The streak in the doorway.
Oh, yeah.
So that's pretty cool.
We felt like that was the place where they came walking through. Come walking through.
So obviously some sort of portal, some sort of...
Oh, yeah. Well,
makes sense. They enter there.
Yeah, we definitely were talking about how this is just where they come passing through. So that doesn't shock me at all that... You know, they want us to have some confirmations. I think that, you know, and like anybody, I mean, they're a consciousness. They want to be validated to some,
oh,
you
yeah.
know, they want people to know that they're here. Mm. We're giving them that chance, and so I think they're going to line up as the evening goes on to show us that they're here.
Absolutely, and like I said, guys, all you listeners out there, thank you for tuning into this show tonight. It's a crazy one. We're at a very haunted location, remember, so if there are any technical difficulties, it's just, you know, spirit playing with us, shall we say.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe they don't want something to be broadcast. Maybe they're draining our equipment for energy for them to manifest or communicate with myself, Mark, or any of the other... Sorry, Martin, I'm trying to say something. Any of the other sensitives here tonight. So please, yourselves at home, listening there, please send any names you pick up on, any situations, any individual spirits. I know there's some of you are having seances, live seances going on right now. Any information comes through, guys, doing any of this divination, or any sensitives listening, please tell us in the chat room. Please get hold of us tonight. Oh, okay, fantastic. So we got another clip to play for you now, guys. I want to thank Mike as well for our number one power producer for doing this and holding things together tonight for us. So thank you, Mike, as well.
Thank you, Mike.
And we're going to go to a clip and then to a quick break. So keep in touch, guys. Stay listening, and we'll catch you in a moment.
There is talk today about drugs and a mad killer, but the Los Angeles police are no closer to a solution of the 7 killings of last weekend than they were then. Sharon Tate's funeral and the funerals of 3 of the 4 people murdered with her were held in 4 different churches. The services for Miss Tate, a remarkably pretty actress who was about to become a mother, were held in West Los Angeles.
This was the first that anyone has seen of Miss Tate's husband, movie director Roman Polanski. He was in Europe at the time of the murder. He was accompanied into the West Los Angeles Catholic Church by the actress's mother. Many of Hollywood's elite turned out for the funeral, despite the fact that it was billed as a private family affair. It was only one of 4 funerals held today for the 5 victims who were murdered at the Polanski's Bel Air estate last Saturday. Services for Abigail Folger, the coffee heiress, were held in San Francisco. Those for hairstylist Jay Sebring and the 18-year-old youth, Stephen Parent, were conducted elsewhere in Los Angeles. The funeral for writer Wojciech Frykowski will be held in New York City this week. Police are still baffled by the crime. The only new development came yesterday when it was revealed that a small amount of narcotics was found in the foreign sports car of Sebring. The car was parked in the driveway of the Polanski home next to Miss Tate's. Miss Tate's funeral didn't draw a large crowd, mainly because the public was not informed where it would be held. The service itself was brief, only 20 minutes long without a mass. Polanski appeared near collapse when he left the church, again accompanied by the dead girl's mother. All of Los Angeles is still shocked at the lurid, bizarre killings. Police officials say they hope to be able to solve the crime quickly, but as yet there are no solid leads. Jim Bennett, NBC News, Los Angeles.
The Manson Murder Investigation, live from Beverly Hills, is sponsored in part by StarCrafters in La Mesa, California. Check out their website at www.starcraftersob.com, the online resource for your pagan and metaphysical needs. And by South Coast Paranormal Tours. Check them out at www.scparanormaltours.com. Dare to explore the unknown. Stay tuned. There'll be more from the live investigation in just a moment.
Thursdays are hot on the Para-X Radio Network. Tune in to Stirring the Cauldron with Marla Brooks every Thursday at 9 p.m. as she welcomes some of the most interesting guests from around the world to talk about the mysteries of the life beyond. That's every Thursday at 9 p.m. right after Gavin Cromwell's Hidden Realm. Thursdays are hot on the Para-X Radio Network.
Hi, this is Marla Brooks from Stir in the Cauldron, and nobody stirs it up better with our loved ones on the other side than Ron Reeder, the man who talks to angels. Please tune in every Friday at 11 a.m. Central and make a connection.
Welcome back to the Manson Murder Investigation, live from Beverly Hills, sponsored in part by Dearly Departed Tours. Check them out at www.dearlydepartedtours.com. Now featuring the Helter Skelter Tour. Now, let's get back to the investigation with Gavin Cromwell, Marla Brooks, and Mark Christopher Nelson.
Yep. Hello, and you're back with Para-X, and we're at the Helter Skelter night.
That crept up on you.
Yes, and we're on. What do you know? I'm getting a little bit of a wave here. And tonight we are with South Coast Paranormal, And we're very glad to have them with us. It's very gracious of them to join us.
Mm-hmm.
And we have their names.
Guys, are you there?
Are you there?
Tony, and David.
Tony?
Hi, Tony. Are you with Gavin and Mark?
Hi there.
Hey, thanks for speaking with us, guys.
Sorry, guys. We're having all sorts of technical difficulties going on in this location tonight. It's a bit of a crazy one. Do you want to just introduce yourself to the listeners again? So we've got Tony and
David.
Tony and David. Okay. Sorry about that, guys. First of all, guys, tell us about South Coast Paranormal. What you guys get up to?
We do live tours on board the Star of India on weekends, Fridays and Saturdays. Unfortunately, the ship isn't dry dock until September 11th. Our next tour date is September 11th, and we have a lot of dates in October. And it's a nightly tour from 10 p.m. to 3 a.m., where we allow people to do ghost hunting, paranormal groups, or just people interested in ghost hunting. We give a history of the ship, breakdown of the paranormal events that have happened and the events that happened on the tours past or previous. And we give them a little education on ghost hunting and equipment that they bring on board with them. And have fun. You know, if they can find any EVPs.
Can you tell us about some of the events that stick out in your mind that you've seen and experienced recently?
Oh, yeah, sure. We've had a lot of great experiences on the Star of India, ranging from shadow people that we see with our own eyes, and also capturing them on video, along with a lot of personal experiences, such as footsteps, the shadow people, AVPs, you know, people can hear voices of, I don't know, passengers from the past, all the way to EVPs as well.
Have you identified some of the people historically? I mean, do you know who it is that's speaking with you?
I believe on the second voyage, the captain of the ship, Captain William John Story, actually died on board coming back from Calcutta, India. They docked for repairs and they went back to Britain, which is what they were registered out of. He died on board. Some say that he committed suicide in the first mate's cabin. And there's a large shadow figure seen on ship in the tween deck, which is the middle section of the ship, and also the saloon, which is the upper deck, which has the first mate's cabin and the captain's cabin. And me personally, I've seen out of the three of the five tours that I've given, I've seen a shadow person sitting in the rocking chair in the captain's quarters, and I've also seen a large shadow person down in the tween deck going to a wall with my own eyes.
Wow, that's pretty good. Just going on your evidence alone there, guys, it definitely seems like you have got the captain there on board with you. I mean, I loved it when you said passengers from the past. You made me all goose pimply when you said that. It's fabulous. I mean, definitely, you know, when you're saying about that captain, William Story, did you say it was then?
Yes, John Story.
When you say, also, you know...
John Campbell, who was a stowaway, he fell from the mast and died on the upper deck.
You seem to find that when a person has passed in tragic circumstances, they do kind of hang around there because of the shock. If it was an accident there, he fell, whatever, you know, he might broke his back, broke his neck or something like this. Tragic circumstances do seem to keep the soul in the atmosphere half the time, Mark.
Oh, yeah, I agree. And I almost question whether they realize they're dead, whether they can accept the fact that they've passed and that they may not be aware of it. And so it's just that kind of absolute rejection of it.
Yeah.
Can cause, I think, spirit. I mean, as you know, Gavin, that there's, for as many reasons as there are people, their ghost will stay. Some, I think, have an ego. They were very proud. I mean, that's why I think what we get around here in Hollywood, people are used to being in the limelight, used to being celebrities, and that they are not ready to step out of the spotlight quite so quickly.
Sorry, Mark.
Oh, that, and on a ship, you know, maybe that was their world and they couldn't envision themselves being, away from it.
I know. It's, we talk about tragic circumstances there. We're here tonight, at, you know, one of the locations where a very tragic thing happened to five people on that night. I mean, it's incredible. I mean, guys, I think you'd love this location, to do an investigation here. It's a fantastic place.
Yeah, another key point is the ship has almost 100% of the original equipment and furniture on board.
Wow.
So a lot of things on board are original from the 1800s.
you're lucky to have that. A lot of locations don't have the original kind of artifacts half the time. They've been sold off, estate sales, or just, you know, been stolen or vandalized or whatever. So, I mean, keeping the original artifacts there on board definitely adds to the activity going on there, you know, because, you know, we hear people talk about haunted objects and, you know, doing psychometry and stuff. It definitely adds to the energy.
Yeah, definitely. What I heard an interesting explanation as to why some psychic mediums can go into a place, you know, just the way that you like to use. I like using psychometry, that when you're physically in a place, you're still, in a sense, practicing psychometry. You're in touch with it. You feel it. And I think the fact that you have so much history still connected to the original, you know, all of the parts of the ship, it's probably something of a magnet that really keeps those spirits in place.
I do agree with that. It's interesting, actually. I was reading one of Marla Brooks' books, actually, Ghost of Hollywood 3. I highly recommend it. Please go and buy it. But I seen a picture of you, Mark, doing some psychometry on an old fire engine.
Yeah.
There.
It was really interesting. I really think that objects hold... it's almost like they have psychic DNA, is the term I like to think of using. You know, it just... It's still there. It's still present. You can still feel it. And it... it's just part of, like, it confirms that we are beings that have energy. We're made up of energy. That energy never goes away. And so the same way we can leave a fingerprint or a sample of DNA behind by brushing something or touching something, I think that it also works out that way.
Absolutely. I mean, guys, I mean, I want you to tell us, and I want you to tell the listeners at home there, when they come on board, they're going to do a tour with you. What can they expect from the tour?
Well, definitely a history lesson in the ship, and all it's been preserved, the ship itself. The Maritime Museum has done a great job. There's a full crew there, actually, every year that's volunteered that take care of the ship every year. That's why it's the world's oldest active ship. After that, we kind of give them a brief lesson on how to do EVPs and how to take photographs and how to be aware of everybody around you, so that way you're not stepping on their evidence as well.
Yeah, and we take them around to the areas of the ship that we've been lucky enough to have to capture, you know, evidence of paranormal activity going on through some of our other investigations that we've done before we open it up to a tour situation. So they go around and really try to find out what's there, try to make contact, if you will.
Absolutely. I mean, you guys seem very, very passionate about this ship, and it just, you know, it kind of shows what you're just talking about it. Have you had any kind of individually now, both of you, any really personal experiences on board that's made you go, my God, you know, there is definitely, you know, life after death?
Yes, absolutely. Definitely. On this ship, I mean, there's, for instance, a shadow person that walks right in front of you, literally right past you, that opens you up to thinking, oh, yeah, there's definitely something here on the other side, that for sure, without a doubt. Out of the 6 years of ghost hunting, this has got to be the most active location that I've seen so far as it happening while you're there and present.
Yeah, I've heard nothing but good reports about the ship. I mean, I've heard a lot about it being over here in California. You know, I've heard a lot of investigators that's been on board rave about it, saying how beautiful it is and, you know, how, you know, overwhelming it is, that the activity they get on board. I want you to tell the listeners how they can find out more about the ship, more about you guys and the tours that you do.
They can go to our website, scparanormaltours.com.
Okay.
Or they can also... call us individually, 619-888-1135. Once again, that's 619-888-1135 if they have any questions. But online, it takes care of everything. Goes through information, evidence that we've captured on previous tours, as well as evidence that we've captured on board the ship. And they can purchase tickets online for the upcoming events that we have available.
Speaking of some of the upcoming events, what's coming up soon?
The first one out of dry dock, because the ship is under repair. It's going in dry dock on August 18th, I believe it's going to be in dry dock, and it's coming out of dry dock. Our first tour is in September 11th. That's when it's coming out of dry dock.
Okay. Do you do any tours in the harbor area itself off the ship?
Not yet. We are looking into other venues, and we're hoping to get actually some venues in Old Town. Old Town is a very historic park that also has hauntings. I don't know if you're familiar with Casa de Escuelia.
I love Old Town, San Diego.
I've been there. Fantastic.
Escuelia House.
Whaley House is an interesting place. That place jumps with energy.
It was fabulous. It was my first time in California. It was actually in January, and it was the first location I'd done. I didn't know where I was being brought to. I didn't know anything about the Whaley House because I'd just come over from the UK, and they just threw me straight into the Whaley House. And what a crazy, what a crazy place. Absolutely wonderful. Fantastic, guys. You know, do you do any of the tours apart from on the ship? Do you go to any other locations while we're on that subject?
Tour-wise, no. We're looking into it, but we also run a paranormal investigative team called South Coast Paranormal. So we're called into people's residences and help them out with their situations.
You know, one thing, I got to believe that that ship is not the only one that's haunted. I mean, because of what you do, are you having people come to you and say, hey, we think there's something on the boat, the ship? And also, too, is there something in particular that would, say, be different about a haunting on a ship as opposed to, say, another location?
I do know on the ship we're more respectful because of the officers that died on board. There were a lot of immigrants as well that died on board. There's a lot of history behind that. As far as activity being different, it's all the same activity, but it seems to be intensified on the ship itself. And I don't know if that's, I lean to believe that it's because of the water that it's sitting in. I think that acts as an endless source of energy that they can just feed off of.
So I would think, too, that the water might be, would be something of a conductor of energy. I mean, I've heard that.
Me too.
So I would think that being on the ship, that would be, you would see a lot of activity. So, I mean, since the ship is so old, have you been in touch with or seen spirits that come from different time frames? I mean, can you identify them as being from like the 1700s or the 1600s or something?
We haven't really seen a full body apparition in full color. We've only seen shadows and forms. Some of us actually catch BPs of you know, passengers saying that, yeah, we're at sea right now. So I'm tending to believe that they are back in time. They just don't know that they're gone.
Yeah,
I bet. Well,
crazy stuff. Well, guys, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show tonight. Listen, I do beg your pardon with the cats wailing in the background there, creating an ambiance. Oh, it's tea time. It's feeding time for the cats. But guys, thank you for coming on the show tonight. I'm going to give your website out again, which is www.scparanormaltours.com. That's www.scparanormaltours.com. Check them out, guys. They're a fantastic group over there. And thank you very much.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for being with us. And we hope that we can get in touch with you, work with you again sometime.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Sure. Cheers, guys. Thank you very much. To everybody listening.
Have a good night.
You too. Have a good night. To all the listeners out there, we're going to take a quick break and we will join you back here at the mansion. At the Manson location.
You're listening to the Manson Murder Investigation, live on Para X, sponsored in part by StarCrafters in La Mesa, California. Check out their website at www.starcraftersob.com, the online resource for your pagan and metaphysical needs. And by South Coast Paranormal Tours. Check them out at www.scparanormaltours.com. Dare to explore the unknown. We'll be back with more from the live investigation in just a moment.
Okay, buddy, let me see your license and registration.
Sure, officer, here they are.
Uh-huh, mm-hmm. I pulled you over because you were swerving back there. Did you know that?
I'm sorry, officer.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Have you been drinking this evening, sir?
Well, I did have some of your mama at the bar.
Excuse me?
I'm sorry. I couldn't resist it. I mean, there's nothing better after a long, hard day than that sweet taste of your mama.
All right, get out of the car, wise ass.
But...
I oughta shoot you where you stand. Hey, get back here!
Yo Mama Beer wishes to remind you to be safe.
Get back here!
And never drink and drive. Pop your mama today.
What walks downstairs alone or in pairs and makes a slinkity sound? A spring, a marvelous thing. Everyone knows it's Slinky. It gives a big lift when wrapped as a gift, a very likable toy. It's falling in place, brings smiles to your face, something kids can enjoy. It's Slinky, for fun it's a wonderful toy. It's Slinky, it's fun for a girl and a boy. And Slinky Mobiles with big Slinky wheels and pistons that move as you go. It makes a great sound when you pull it around. The driver's an old-timey fellow. A Slinky dog, a Slinky train, many more wonderful toys. You tug the string, they do their thing. They're great for girls and boys. They're Slinkies, really wonderful toys. They're Slinkies, they're fun for girls and boys.
From the vantage point, Mafatu saw six war canoes drawn up on the beach. But what held the boys' eyes in awful trance were the figures, the eaters of men, cannibals. Mafatu watched the strange scene, powerless to move. In that very instant, he heard a crashing in the undergrowth. Four figures were tearing through the jungle. He turned and ran blindly down the trail, thinking only of his canoe. If only he could reach it before the savages overtook him. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book Call It Courage by Armstrong Sperry. For other great book ideas, visit literacy.gov. A message from the Library of Congress and the Ad Council.
Hello, car of teenagers. If you don't mind, I'm only going to broadcast this out of the speaker on the passenger side so we can talk in private. Okay, now that we're alone, what's with your friend's driving? Is he always this reckless? You should say something, something witty. Make a joke about the airbag or something. Hearses are funny, too. You can make a joke about hearses. Driver, just so you know, we're totally not talking.
Counsel, and speak up or else, Doctor.
Welcome back to the Manson Murder Investigation, live from Beverly Hills. Sponsored in part by Dearly Departed Tours. Check them out at www.dearlydepartedtours.com. Now featuring the Helter Skelter Tour. Now, let's get back to the investigation with Gavin Cromwell, Marla Brooks, and Mark Christopher Nelson.
And we're back, and this is Mark Christopher Nelson, and I'm very lucky to have David, who's the owner of the home where we're investigating this evening. David, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, it's my pleasure to be here and have you guys here tonight.
We've had a chance to speak with David over the last couple of hours, and clearly there's been a lot of activity in the house. He's very intimately aware of many of the things. And it's interesting, David, I mean, you've gotten to know some of the resident spirits, so to speak, but there seems to be visitors that show up as well.
Yes, there's quite a few visitors that show up, and I'm very familiar with Sharon and Jay and the rest of the crowd that's down the street, so to speak, that visit.
Well, David, what was the first time that you, I mean, when you first were talking downstairs recently, a little while ago, pardon me, about the fact that you've been in touch with Sharon for some time and that you're very aware of her. And you have been for not just from the time that the house was built, but prior to that.
Yes, I actually remember coming up here in 1979 when I was in high school. Used to come up to look at the Tate House, and I remember having the sensation and feeling that instead of being here to oogle and ogle the murder site when the house was still there, I was overcome with a sense of empathy and deep reverence towards the victims, and the thought was more about taking care of, thinking about them as people, as victims, more than just a footnote to history. And everybody else was more inclined to be, oh, that's where the murders took place. Oh, that's where it all went down. And I was standing far removed from the crowd saying, you know, this isn't something we should be thinking about and talking about as a historical landmark and a site. We should really be paying homage to those victims.
Well, David, how did the spirits, I mean, they were clearly distinctive individuals in life. They had their own personalities. How do you know when you're being contacted by Sharon as opposed to someone else?
Sharon, there's just a sense of almost an angelic type of a presence when Sharon communicates to me. It's very, very soft, sincere type of a voice. And her presence is just, how should I say this, has an overwhelming warmth about her, real light energy about her being. It's just very positive.
And Jay Sebring clearly is a very different kind of a guy.
Yeah, Jay comes across as a lot more randy, a lot more, I hate to say randy, but he's much more, he's much more brought out when there's more, when there are more physically attractive women that have come through the house, including the two that were just here. He was quite active in talking to me and saying some very, disconcerting remarks about the women and what he would have done had he been alive and here in the flesh, so to speak.
Wow. And so you are trying to get some new productions moving forward?
As a matter of fact, I just had I have a couple of reality paranormal shows that I'm trying to put together. One's called Celebrity Seance, and the other one's called Hollywood Haunted Spirit Quest. And we're trying to put it together so that we can actually shoot these two pilots on the 40th anniversary of the murders, which is next Saturday, August 8th. So if there's anybody out there that's in the reality show production market and is interested, please contact me through my email at allure, A-L-L-U-R-E, underscore E-N-T, at PAC, P-A-C, Bell, B-E-L-L, dot net.
Why don't you give them that one more time?
That email address is A-L-L-U-R-E, underscore E-N-T, at PACBell, dot net.
So, David, what, I mean, you know, it's a kind of an infamous moment in history. How are you planning to recognize it, to commemorate the passing? Well, what are you planning for the event?
Well, every year since I moved in here 7 years ago, I've actually had invited people that have been walking down the street. And also had tours with Scott Michaels, specifically have brought those people into the house here. And we've all talked about, and I've held, held a kind of a speech at the front of the fireplace and talked about the victims as people and as the, as not as victims as much as people that had viable lives ahead of them that were very, very, productive, and how we owe them all a debt of gratitude for being, for contributing to our lives in ways we would never have imagined, including Jay Sebring, who was the hairstylist to the stars, but all men seem to owe him a debt of gratitude, because if it wasn't for Jay, we'd be still going, and I say we, men would still be going to the neighborhood barbershop to have their hair cut by a barber instead of going to a hairstylist or a salon or something to get their hair coiffed, which was Jay's contribution.
Well, I think that they're still very active and alive and in touch with us here. In fact, when we were downstairs, we had a couple of moments where, say, we heard the woman's name, Doris, or I thought it was a woman. We heard a D name, a woman, and it came through that I felt like there was someone being strangled, a woman who had passed by pressure around the throat, and you seemed to know who that was. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, I remember we were down in the master bedroom and walked into the bathroom, and you had remarked to me that you had heard a D name, and I was thinking, and you said it was not associated with the murder victims,
yes.
And I said, the only D I came up with was Deborah, which was Deborah Tate, but that didn't make sense because Deborah is still quite alive. But then it flew, the name Doris Duke popped into my head, and I said, wait a second, that's Doris Duke that you're picking up, because she lived across the street, across the mountaintop, to the which used to be the Falcon Lair, Valentino's old home, which Jimi Hendrix had lived in 1968 to 69. And then Doris Duke had moved in afterwards in 70 or 71, and she was actually killed by her butler had actually killed her and strangled her to death. And that's the name that I got that confirmed to me that you were talking about, Doris Duke.
The other thing, too, is in we just saw a photo that Marla, we were going to talk about that a little. Michelle, is it okay if I talk about it now?
Yeah, sure.
We actually felt that there was activity that we could feel it coming like through the hallway, through your bedroom, and then into through the bathroom into the bedroom. And if you look back, it was like a long hallway. And I said, I feel like that spirit is walking through here. I feel like spirit's walking through here. And one of our friends on the investigation took a photo. That would be Marla, who's raising her hand. Okay, credit from our photo credit goes to Marla. Thank you, Marla. Take a bow. And so we saw very clearly there was like a line down the middle of the door frame, and it, Marla, can you, do you want to tell us about it? Okay. It looked like a whirlpool. I'll just paraphrase so I don't have to drag Marla across the table.
Tornado. Yeah.
Kind of like a tornado. And
vortex.
It was,
exactly.
That's what I just heard. You saw a vortex.
Right.
And so it's a really fascinating. It's just like they're showing up. I really feel like spirit is showing up. There's a lot of celebrity in the area. What's interesting for such a an area that, in terms of human history, hasn't been in, you know, like say Western history, hasn't been here all that long. It's a very dense recent history where this is a place where people want to live. It's a place where very important and celebrated people want to live. And when we've got cameras and recording, they seem to want to be here with us.
Yeah, I'd say that for the most part, when I bring in or invite people that are all of like mind and have a sincere approach and a focus to communicating with the dearly departed, and that's not necessarily to say just the Sharon Tate victims, because there are other spirits and energies that come in and coalesce in the house and visit here. The thing is that when you bring all those focus, that much focus to bringing out or trying to communicate with the dearly departed, whoever they might be, they manifest themselves. They literally pour out of the walls and kind of almost like iron filings to a magnet. They are drawn in to the focus here.
David, is there anything about the ground here? I've heard something about the mineral makeup of the soil.
Yeah, apparently some people had done some research here a few years ago and said that they looked it up on the U.S. Geological Survey somewhere, that the area has a tremendously high electromagnetic field anomaly that's not pre-seismic, meaning it's not earthquake-related or fault line, even though there is a Benedict Canyon fault line. They're saying that it's more pre-volcanic, which would mean that there is a large lava tube under the earth here that is, how she said, it's a pre-existing condition that there would be a volcano here in about a couple of thousand years that would actually form here, and that because of the iron content and the magnesium and the other rich mineral content in the magma, as the magma is shifting under the earth's surface here, it's actually discharging an electromagnetic anomaly.
Is that why, I have to tell you, when I walked in and a number of the people that we came in with, we all started feeling things like, you know, pressure in the back of our head. I felt a very strong pressure, like in my sinuses. And I'm just noticing, it's like, where are all of these little things? I mean, are you aware of that yourself? Do other people visiting comment on it? And how do you cope with it?
To answer the first part of the question, yes, it's I'm sometimes affected by it. And it's not always at the highest degree of perceptibility. However, it comes and it goes, it ebbs and it flows. The electromagnetic field discharge and the energies with the spirits sometimes is greater and sometimes it diminishes. It's always at a constant of a very high rate, 4 to 5 times the magnetic field positive, and then sometimes 4 to 5 times the magnetic field reverse polarity. And that's been recorded with the geomagnetometer when we had a scientist came by here a few years ago, and he had readings of 2,000 milligauss positive at the top of the stairs and minus 1,000 milligauss negative at the front door.
So that's a huge dichotomy, isn't it?
It's basically, as he described it, I live in a gigantic bipole, or another way to say it is a DC battery. When the Santa Ana winds are blowing up and down the canyons, he had an air ion counter, and he had a reading of 22 parts per million cubic centimeter positive ion outside the house, came inside the house and registered 22 parts per million cubic centimeter negative ions, which is meaning that they're reversing polarity, which, as he described it, is virtually impossible without installing millions of dollars worth of big DC metal batteries in the walls, battery magnets in the walls to create that type of an electromagnetic anomaly.
David, did you know what you were getting into when you moved here?
Well, I didn't exactly just move here. My father and I bought the lot 10 years ago in 1999 and proceeded to build on the property. And I didn't know, but I quickly found out that I wasn't alone during construction. One of my construction laborers actually had a weird experience here in the house and was telling me about it. That he had been working on the third level in the middle of summer by himself at about 6:30 at night, and he heard voices and footsteps coming from the top floor. He came upstairs, looked around the top floor, and saw no one. Went outside, found no one. So he decided to go back downstairs and finish up his work. Within 5 minutes, he's heard the sounds of the voices and the footsteps again. So he ran upstairs, looked around the second floor, looked around the first floor, went on the driveway, nothing. At that point, he said to me, he was going downstairs and packing his bags up. And as he was doing so, he heard the footsteps coming down the staircase, and they were getting louder and louder, as if somebody was coming down to the bottom floor. So he tucked himself in behind the wall, the door in the other room, and he says they got so loud, it sounded to him like he could almost reach out and touch the person that was outside the door. So he came outside the door as they stopped and looked, and there was no one there. At that point, a cold, chilly breeze went whisking across the back of his neck, and he says the hair on the back of his neck stood straight up, and he screamed out. He said, Dos míos, yummy boy, and took off and didn't come back for 6 weeks.
Okay, since I don't speak Spanish.
Dos míos means, oh, my God, oh, my God.
Wow.
So he was freaking out and didn't come back for 6 weeks and was very, very put off by it. And he finally came back because he realized he didn't have his paycheck for the past month's work. So, and the irony is I actually was so furious and frustrated him being down in El Salvador taking care of his mom that I ended up putting the tile in the master bathroom. And to this day, you can see what an unprofessional job I did compared to the rest of the house, where the tiles are perfectly in alignment. And in my bedroom, they're a little bit raised, a little bit lower on some of them. There's a greater gap in space between one tile and the other. It's quite the fact that I remember very well when he took off and how that all played out in my life personally. So,
well, David, I have to tell you, I was just in there. I wasn't like looking at the tile and going, oh my gosh, what happened here? You know, so I mean, maybe you should think about doing the tile work on the side.
Not as a sideline.
I don't know. I see all the work. It looked pretty good. You're no El Salvadoran tile guy. Okay, we can all admit that.
That's true. Si, senor. as a matter of Dios mio. Dios mio, yeah, all the time. As a matter of fact, I was so inspired by my experiences living in the house that I wrote a story and have made it into a feature film called House at the End of the Drive. And in the film, I actually have Lance Henriksen reprising the role of my Latino laborer from El Salvador, and he actually reprises the role in verbatim, tells the story as I just told you, with a much greater dramatic flair for Lance Henriksen, of course.
Yes.
And it's the movie is both a mixture of fact and fantasy. All the factual parts of the movie are based on my personal experiences and those of others who have been and visited the house. And it's quite an interesting little ghost story feature film that I've made.
Well, I have to ask you, has the activity, in your opinion, remained constant, has gone up, has it gone down? What factors seem to influence or raise and lower the kind of activity that you see?
Well, I've had many a group come in here, the Las Vegas Paranormal Society, Hollywood Ghost Hunters was out here a couple of weeks ago shooting some footage. I think that, and I've had some people that have been here that actually knew Sharon's family but didn't know that they were friends with Sharon's family when they were growing up. And at one of those occasions, I had that person come over for dinner and a glass of wine slid across the dining room table about 7 inches, and the wine was literally cascading from one side of the glass to the other. It was quite impressive. And I sat back and looked at the glass, and I said, okay, now I've seen everything. And I looked up at the rest of the table, and the rest of the people at the table were bewildered, to say the least.
So do you see actually many examples of psychokinesis around the house?
I'd have to say that I've had objects move in front of me. I've had, as recently a month and a half ago, I had a sock, an athletic sock that was on my floor in my bedroom. And I was walking down the hall, and I looked at it and said, don't be a lazy loaf. Pick up that gosh darn sock. And right as I'm thinking that thought, the sock slides across the floor 4 feet. And I was like, okay, well, thanks. Let me know you guys are here.
Well, yeah. It sounds like you have spirit help in terms of maid service on the other side.
I wish I did. Honestly, that would be a blessing in disguise.
Because then you could pay them with invisible money, which would be very nice.
That would be a blast. I'd really appreciate that a lot. But no, I mean, there have been times when a chair has gone 10 feet from the den into the living room in the pathway from the staircase up to the kitchen. And I said to my friend who was staying at the time, I said, why did you move the chair from the den into the living room right in the walkway to the kitchen? He goes, I've been downstairs for the past 2 hours working on a thesis. do you think I have time to do something stupid like that? And I said, so you didn't? And I dragged him upstairs and he said, so you didn't move that chair? He goes, no. When I came downstairs, the chair was in the den and I looked at it and I didn't pay any attention to it. So I had nothing to do with it. The activity, like I said, it comes and it goes. Around the anniversary of the murder, it gets much more intense and much more active, let us say.
Have you had any family members come to the house?
Of the victims, no. Never had any of the family members come to the house, ever.
That would probably be a very painful experience anyway, so I can understand that. Looking forward, you've got the two productions that will hopefully be coming together.
The two pilots, yes.
Well, that's got to be something exciting, and I would like to think that, you know, with the your approach for the reverence and respect to the people who've crossed over, that do you think that they're pulling for you? Do you think that they're pulling strings for you? Do you think they're helping you on the other side?
I just heard in my right ear, absolutely, we are 110% behind David and his veneration of us, because I approach their deaths as something significant, that people treat them like a footnote to history, and that's not how they should be venerated and remembered. They should be remembered as people with the rest of their lives in front of them, and that we owe a debt of gratitude for the fact that they were slaughtered the way they were, that they've been treated with such disrespect, so to speak, and that also would apply to the ex-district attorney, Vincent Bugliosi, with his, how should we say, being on the vanguard to have Susan Atkins released and being on top of the side of having her released from mercy parole. Sharon, when I heard that and I heard Sharon scream at me, how totally unbelievable. It was the greatest insult to her that the person who helped put them all away would actually be on the other side of the coin venerating or trying to get a mercy parole for Susan Atkins, which to me is an absolute disgrace, and it's absolutely hypocritical to a really to an unbelievably unimaginable degree. It really kind of made me just lose any respect for that thought.
David, we have a minute or two before we go to break.
Sure.
We have a question in the chat room.
No, we don't have a question. We have a comment, which is very validating to what David just said. It's from Ladine. And she said that she gets a feeling the spirits are frustrated, and she heard a voice that says, he knows.
Oh. Wow.
So it's validating that you are their voice, David.
Yeah, I really appreciate that a lot, Ladine. And all of a sudden I'm getting overcome with a sense of real sadness, and that doesn't happen very often. But I'm just completely overwhelmed with a sense of appreciation that you're out there and that you... one of the few people who's actually written in to say that, and Sharon's like putting her arms on my shoulders and making me really connect with her energy and saying, you're absolutely right. We have been totally discarded and disgraced, and nobody cares about us. And the reason why that she is using me as a conduit is because I have been like a vanguard and a standard bearer for Sharon and the rest of their memories, because nobody really cares about them and really, you know, feels that there's any need to venerate them as much as they feel they should be. And this being the 40th anniversary of the slayings, it's even more important, because she says they will not leave until all of those perpetrated the crimes of their murders are literally off the planet and off the face of the earth.
Well, I suspect that you are going to outlast them without any doubt about that. Do we have another minute or two?
Ladine said she's crying too.
No, well, Ladine, believe me, I really appreciate that a lot. And Sharon, in her own way, says she really appreciates the thought that you're there for her and that you understand what she's going through.
Well, David, just so you know, there are people around. Just so you know, David, there are people around the world who are listening to this right now, and I'm sure, her message and that what you're saying about Sharon is being heard in countries around the world, and that you are providing a wonderful testament to her, and it's your voice is getting around the world. It's making a difference and reminding her. So we're going to be taking a little break. David, I really appreciate your being with us. I hope we can have you back in a little bit.
Absolutely.
Okay.
It'd be my pleasure.
And we'll talk to you soon. We're going to go take a little break and thank you, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Manson Murder Investigation, live on Para X, sponsored in part by StarCrafters in La Mesa, California. Check out their website at www.starcraftersob.com, the online resource for your pagan and metaphysical needs. And by South Coast Paranormal Tours. Check them out at www.scparanormaltours.com. Dare to explore the unknown. We'll be back with more from the live investigation in just a moment.
Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Paranormal fans, make plans now to attend Phantasm 2009, hosted by Sepia and the Browncoat Pub and Theater. This four-day event takes place Thursday, September 10th through Sunday, the 13th in beautiful downtown Wilmington, North Carolina. Meet the team from Sepia. Plus, get readings from special guest speaker, renowned radio host, and world-famous psychic, Gavin Cromwell. This event includes a special dinner on Thursday, a ghost walk on Friday, participation in an investigation on Saturday, with a brunch and review Sunday. Plus, there'll be vendors, private readings, and more. This event is limited to the first 50 people who sign up. So don't delay. Reserve your seat today. For more information and to reserve your seat, go to www.sepianc.com. Groups welcome and discounted rooms are available for this event. That's www.sepianc.com. Phantasm 2009. Don't miss your chance. Reserve your seat today.
This is Mary from the Chad People Radio, and come join Lori and myself at our new time next Sunday, 7 p.m., here on Para X.